ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. For the time being, I guess I can stop saying that at a certain point. I don't know. We'll see. Things still developing on the what the hell's happening to InfoWars front. If you've been watching the Alex Jones Show today, you know as much as I do. But I've got some more content about that I want to get to a little bit later in the show. But right now we have President Trump and Kash Patel, director of the FBI, giving a little slideshow in the Oval Office about the effectiveness of Trump's crime policies, sending the National Guard into unsafe cities and cleaning up the streets to the applause of the people living there and to the ire of the Democrats who apparently require crime in their cities to live. I don't know what it is exactly, but to the Democrats, crime is like water to a fish. It's like air to a human. They need it to survive. And so Trump is taking that away from them, and they are acting like Trump is suffocating them. And we've got an interview with J.B. Pritzker, governor of New York, that I'm going to go to later, where he, like so many other Democrats before him, is openly threatening anybody obeying orders from Trump, saying, you know, we're going to be back in power next. And when that happens, you're not safe because the statute of limitations aren't up. He's talking to, like, ICE agents that are arresting legal immigrants and getting rocks thrown at them on the streets of Chicago. So I want to go to that video as well. But let's go now to this live press conference with Trump and Kash Patel. And have we backed it up, guys, or are we just going into it live right now? All right, it's backed up. So this is the beginning, and we'll follow up on the other side of this commercial break. But here's Donald Trump and Kash Patel earlier today.
Chicago taken care of as an example. They had, in a short period of time, 4,000 murders in Chicago. And we have to listen to this man stand up and say that we're bad people. And the people of Chicago are walking around with MAGA hats. You have women, beautiful black women, walking around with MAGA hats. Please let the president in, and we don't care how he does it. They're not interested in National Guard or Army, Navy. Bring them in. Marines, bring in the Marines. They just want the crime to stop. And more so because of the success that we had in D.C. I think if we didn't have that success, nobody would even believe it. So I want to congratulate all of the incredible law enforcement professionals joining us today, especially Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's terrific, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who is a fantastic legal talent. He really is. He's a great guy, too. And, of course, FBI Director Kash Patel. They have worked so hard on this and other things. Since the start of the administration, the FBI has arrested over 23,000 violent criminals, more than double the number arrested in the final year of the Biden disaster. The FBI has also destroyed or severely disrupted more than 170 organized criminal enterprises and gangs, 1,600 of the most violent gangs, and confiscated over 6,000 illegal firearms. And they've tracked down and arrested four fugitives on the most wanted list. Four of the most wanted. Actually, two of them were the most wanted fugitives in the world. There's still much more work to be done, which is why the FBI continues to work alongside the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of War to defend. And Pete Hegseth has been fantastic, by the way, on this, too. Yeah. On other things, but on this, too. To defend law and order and combat violent crime, arrest illegal aliens, and make American cities the safest in the world. And when I campaigned, I talked about crime, but I never knew that we were going to get into it like we did. You know, I mean, I used to watch these cities with the murders. Chicago recently had one deal where they had 11 murders in one weekend, and they said, well, yeah, but it was a holiday weekend. They actually told me that was the reason.
Amazing. Like, incredible stuff. This is Trump in the Oval Office earlier today with a bright yellow tie. Bit of a change of pace for him. Kash Patel presents some information next. We'll go back to that on the other side. Stay with us. This is War Room, InfoWars.com. Big sales, by the way, at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Oh,
because you showed up.
Is that the way to talk?
You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and gear. Promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We have a lot to talk about today in terms of crime in Chicago. As Trump was just relating there, I have a dozen videos at this point, at least. I could, no joke, fill up at least half this show. I could do an hour and a half, commercial free, just of clips of mostly black people in Memphis and Chicago thanking President Trump for making their neighborhood safe again. I'm telling you, I have like at least six videos today that I grabbed. I left other ones on side. A lot of cursing in some of these videos. So I probably won't be able to play that many of them, but Trump is exactly right about the people who are just thrilled that this is happening. And it's really amazing. And he has transformed cities like Memphis in 2 weeks. I'll show you the clips on the other side. And again, you can listen to the stats, but to hear the people on the ground talk about letting their kids play outside for the first time in years, being able to walk to the store and not have to carry a gun with you, and saying, I've never felt more safe in my life than the last 2 weeks with the National Guard. And of course, there's an irony of this too, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to get into as well. I really want to get into the Young Republicans chat leak that came out yesterday. Because almost yet again, we're shown an example of how far behind the Republicans are from the youth, and the movement that they're supposed to be representing is just so far beyond them, they can't even see it anymore. So I really want to get into that. And as part of that, I have a response from Kathy Hochul. If you don't know, Politico leaked a bunch of chat logs from a group chat from sort of a faction within the New York Young Republicans, but it's this nationwide group, the Young Republicans, and they're making some spicy jokes. They were using some edgy words, and everybody's flipping out about this. And Kathy Hochul responded to it. And so as I'm, going through and gathering clips and news, I search Hochul in just my video folder, and I'm reminded, oh yeah, Kathy Hochul herself deployed the National Guard into the subways because the crime was so out of control. And I forget that that's happened a few times in the very recent past, that the crime has gotten so out of control in these big cities, the cities and states themselves have unleashed the National Guard, usually to some success. But again, this represents not authoritarianism from the federal government. It represents a total abdication of responsibility from the local leaders in these cities and states who allow their streets to be filled with merciless psychopaths murdering people. So we're going to get very much into all of these things, but let's go to Kash Patel, since he's in the Oval Office, presenting some stats, some information about the so far massive success of Trump's Clean Up the Street programs. And is there a name for this? There needs to be a name for this. This is very unlike Trump to not give us a very catchy term, a turn of phrase to describe what's going on here. The Clean Streets Initiative, whatever it is, so we can reference it. I think we need a label of some sort to be able to talk about this. But that's it. But I'm just talking out loud now. I was thinking out loud. Let's go to Kash Patel in the Oval Office talking about the success of this initiative. Let's watch.
And What I'd like to do is just highlight some of the outstanding work that the men and women of the FBI have been doing. And thanks to your brave leadership and the mandate you were given by the American people to not only defend the homeland but crush violent crime, you tasked us with our great partners at the Department of Justice and the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General to start making arrests and bring prosecutions and safeguard our cities. And you said it. This is just the beginning. In just 7 months, I hope the media takes a look at every one of these charts because these are the best numbers for fighting crime in U.S. history, and it's only 7 months in. And to do that, our vehicle to do it of choice was Operation Summer Heat, which the FBI architected to go after violent criminals. And in just a 3-month span, you had 8,700 arrests of violent criminals. You had 2,200 firearms seized off the streets permanently to safeguard our communities. You had 421 kilograms of fentanyl seized. Just to put that in perspective, that's enough to kill 55 million Americans alone. You had 45,000 kilograms of cocaine seized. And thanks to our Department of Justice partners, you had 2,100 indictments in 3 months from June to September alone. Mr. President, that in and of itself would be historic for a 4-year presidency. You did that in 7 months because you let good cops be cops and you partnered us with the right people, the Department of Justice, to put the handcuffs on and bring them to court and put them in prison. And if that weren't enough, when you look at the year, for the entire 7-month period that we're talking about here, if you look at the past 4 years of the Biden administration, 16,000, 17,000, 15,000, 15,000. That's the number of arrests year over year of violent felons in this country for the Biden administration. Mr. President, in 7 months, you have 28,600 arrests of violent felons in just 7 months alone because of your leadership and the dedication of the men and women at the FBI who want to go out there and do the job they were prevented from doing because that department used to be weaponized and politicized. And this is what happens when you take out the fangs of weaponization. This number is historic by every metric. 28,000 people have been arrested, violent felons alone. And then when you go over there and look at some of these charts, if you don't mind, I'll just hop over here. Look at the metrics for not just violent crime, but the homeland. Mr. President, during your administration, the FBI has found and located 5,400 children. That is a 30% increase year-to-date over the last administration. Violent crimes against children arrests alone are up 10%. Gang arrests are up 210% in the last 7 months alone. And transnational organized crime, which Stephen Miller has been a great partner in, is up over 12% alone. These numbers are historic just as a snapshot. But just so people don't think we're focusing on violent crime alone, the national security mission, Mr. President, under your leadership has never been stronger. We have gone after espionage activities against our main counterparts in China, Russia, and Iran. In China alone, we've had over a 50% increase in espionage arrests alone and prosecution.
Okay, so he's moving on to the espionage stuff now. We can go back to this if we want, but I just want to want to ruminate for a second on what we just heard. I was trying to take notes as he was going on, but these are some pretty astonishing numbers. This fact alone, 5,400 children have been rescued. 5,400 children have been saved from what? From sex slavery, from trafficking? I mean, that is an enormous number. 5,400 children saved. They said the arrests in that regard were up, I believe, 10%, but a 210% rise in gang-related arrests, that is astronomical. So again, it's a reminder that when we're talking about these things, these aren't just statistics. These are real human beings. These are real children suffering in some horrifying condition that nobody was looking for, that nobody was trying to find, that nobody was punishing the people that had made them disappear. And they were just out there suffering for God knows how long until somebody, Donald Trump in this case, decided to unleash the incredible law enforcement that America has and pays billions upon billions of dollars for. And that's not even including just the number of murders and armed robberies or horrifying injuries that come about because of violent crime. Trump is making a tangible, real difference in the lives of everyday Americans, and people are going to notice this, and they're going to respond positively to it. Really, the only people that are against this at this point are the criminals themselves, the Democrats who rely on the criminality to get elected, and that, you know, I wasn't being facetious earlier saying that, you know, the Democrats need crime like a fish needs water. No, they do. They need crime. I mean, if everything's going well, what is the pitch of the Democrats? If everybody's happy and prosperous and doing well, what do they need the government for? What do they need the Democrat handouts for? What do they need to be told they're victims for? No, you need victims. You need people that are miserable and suffering, that are victims of crimes. You need people that are desperate in order to vote for Democrats. And so this is a big problem for them. This is a big problem. Trump is pressed to the fix everything switch, and he's fixing everything. And that's tragic because they rely on everything being utterly messed up forever for them to retain power long enough, at least, to genuinely crash America completely and then usher in a communist revolution, which is obviously their intended goal. So we'll go back to Kash Patel here, but those are some pretty astonishing statistics from Kash about just how effective this Operation Summer Heat is. I guess it does have a name. I guess it does have a name now. Operation Summer Heat has come to an end and has been wildly successful, but more National Guard is being deployed elsewhere. And of course, this is, you know, the Democrats, the globalists, the one thing that they are exceptional at, truly, truly exceptional at, is creating these lose-lose situations for us, the American people. They create situations where either you have to let the American people suffer endlessly under unrestricted crime from criminals that are routinely let out of prison over and over and over again with little or no bail, despite showing a pattern of violent activity that's only increasing the longer it goes on. Or you have to send in the military and look like you're a tyrant. And so, damned if you do, damned if you don't. In this case, Trump is actually trying to protect the American people, sending the military in where necessary to either deal with the crime, which again, it's not even necessary. It's just the local politicians literally just don't do it. They just don't want to do it. So it just doesn't get done. So Trump uses what is at his disposal to deploy to go fix that crime, or in Chicago, protect the ICE agents that are trying to arrest illegal immigrants. And you've got the governors and mayors of these areas essentially following the Podesta plan and declaring themselves sovereign and seceding from the United States. At least that's their intention. So sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But for the people on the ground, obviously it's better if they aren't being murdered in their homes. So that's the choice he's chosen to make. And I have to say, the local leadership in these areas not doing a great job of selling the tyranny that's supposedly coming down, especially when you have Trump. And, you know, I'm still sort of a split mind about this, but Trump lets judges disrupt him, and he's still doing it to this day. And I've got three stories at least today of judges. One made the Portland facility take a fence down, because how dare you defend yourself ahead of October 18th, No King riots, where they plan on attacking all these places. How dare you put up a fence to defend yourself? Take that down. Despite the fact that for months after January 6th, all of Washington, D.C. was in military lockdown. They don't mention that. They deploy the National Guard, and they set up barbed wire fences around the Capitol on January 6th. They deploy the guard to the subway system in New York to deal with the out-of-control crime. And all that's fine and normal and good, actually. But when Trump sends federal agents to protect ICE agents who are being viciously attacked, and I've got video after video of that, then he's a tyrant, and it's just awful. And so Trump's strategy has been to really stick to the process, really allow even the most egregious and outrageous abuses of judicial authority for judges who are, in reality, and I said this till my voice is hoarse. They're nobody. They're actually leftist activists. The vast majority of judges who are making these decisions never been judges, never even really been lawyers. Well, at least the person who, you know, let out the murderer of Irina Zhurushka wasn't even a lawyer, let alone capable of being a judge. No, these are literal activists. Most of the time they're foreigners, especially the ones that are getting in the way of Trump's agenda. So you've got, like, somebody that grew up in Barbados until they were 35, came to America, worked for 10 years for an NGO whose entire purpose was circumventing the law and getting in as many immigrants as possible. And then suddenly Obama taps them on the head and they put on a dress, a robe, and suddenly they're making these decisions. So it's just like infuriating. You know, a very large part of me is just like, why do these people have any power in our country at all? Why is Trump listening to them at all? And I still feel that way to a pretty large degree. Because again, who the hell, so they're setting up a fence because they're being attacked, setting up a defensive barrier. And there's some judge somewhere that's just like, you're not allowed to defend yourself. And so they're like, all right, well, we'll take this down. I guess we'll get attacked. I guess we'll make a much less secure, less safe, more volatile, more violent situation. Okay, judge, will do. And it's like, who is this lady? Just ignore her. What is she going to do? Go take the fence down herself? Like, what? Okay, so, but Trump is just listening to them endlessly. And there's like at least three different situations today of judges just going, Trump cannot order the guard here. And Trump cannot fire people from the federal government. And just issuing, you know, reversals of our president's orders. Some lady somewhere who somebody appointed for some reason. It's just, okay, that's our democracy, apparently. We all voted for Trump, but there's some lady nobody even knows of who gets to override him whenever the hell she wants. Great. No King's protest could draw historic turnout and pushback against Trump. Organizers say, well, that'll show him. The anger level is way higher than it was for the June protest, which will drive up turnout. Some Republicans accuse protesters of hating America. Yeah, well, they do. So, yeah, some Republicans are just telling, like, repeating back to you. They're acting like a mirror, reflecting back to you what is obvious to all of us. You hate America. Nobody is even confused about this, really. You know it. We know it. You're just lying about it and want us to be fooled. We're not fooled. So, yes, the Hate America rally is happening on the 18th. And, hey, if it's successful, I guess Trump has to leave office, right? Sorry, I'm being told no, that's not how it works. They're going to achieve nothing. Great. Okay. Well, there'll be a ton of people achieving absolutely nothing all over the country on the 18th. Amazing stuff. Except, of course, in places where it will get violent because judges have demanded that these fences be removed. So I got to give it to Trump a little bit. I got to say, I think while I might not make the same decisions he's made in the same position he's in, I might ignore the random activist in a judge robe. The fact that he is doing that, it really is not giving people like J.B. Pritzker anything to go off of. Gavin Newsom really doesn't have much to claim as violation of the Constitution, acting tyrannical. I mean, they still throw around these words. I'll show you the clip later. J.B. Pritzker saying Trump is setting up an authoritarianism with him as the central figure. And his proof of that is like, I don't even know. ICE agents are on the street in the middle of the day. He's very mad that they're doing it in the daylight, I guess. He'd rather have night raids. Like, what are they even talking about? It's all absurd and insane, but they really have nothing to go on because Trump is being so lenient with these judges, so generous with these judges. Maybe it's the right thing to do in the long term, and we've seen a major reversal of public sentiment in this regard with support for Democrats more or less collapsing over the last several months. So I'm willing to be a little bit patient here for that, you know, in that case alone, but I still am just sick of our president being continuously shut down by random ladies from Oregon. Okay. It's infuriating. Let's go back to Kash Patel here and see what else he has to say about Operation Summer Storm, Summer Heat.
Year versus 100 last year, year to date alone. And when it comes to the cyber criminal activities, which are some of the largest enterprises plaguing everyday Americans, we at the FBI have put out a mission to go after cyber criminals like never before. Last year, they had in total 191. This year, you already have 252 arrests. 52 arrests of violent cyber criminals who are stealing from senior citizens, who are violating our children's rights and freedoms, and who are violating everyday Americans. These programs are record. And two of the things I'll finish with that I'm most proud of, Mr. President, this FBI. Fentanyl. As you know, it's a scourge that is killing our youth, 100,000 plus a year. To date, the FBI has seized 1,900 kilograms of fentanyl. That's enough lethal doses to kill 127 million Americans alone. To date. And if that weren't enough, Mr. President, you said we have to go after the worst of the worst. And you empowered our Department of Justice, our Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, and the Deputy Director at the FBI, led the charge, not just on summer heat, but he also led the charge in the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives. These people have been on the run for years. And in 7 months, you captured not one, not two, not three, but four of the FBI's most top 10 fugitives. Four. And just to put that in perspective, Mr. President, the Biden administration captured four in all of 4 years. You're on seven, and we're going to get to 10. We're going to get to 10 of 10. This includes a lady who murdered her six-year-old handicapped child and fled to India. We got her in 2 months. This includes a narco trafficker. This includes a sex trafficker. This includes another first-degree murderer and gangbanger. These people were on the run because of the prior administration's reckless policies that destroyed our communities. And you came in and with a mandate said, go after the worst of the worst. This is just the beginning. This is what happens when you let good cops be good cops at the FBI. Mr. President, I just want to thank you for your incredible leadership, our brave partnership with prosecutors who know how to bring cases and make sure these arrests stick. And that's what the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General have led the charge across this country, because arrests without prosecutions are meaningless. We are deterring criminals from doing this activity. We are preventing criminals from coming into America. And we are absolutely crushing violent crime like never before and defending this homeland, sir. And not to mention, I almost forgot this one. It took you, sir, 2 weeks to get the Abbey Gate bomber. Joe Biden had 4 years to look for him. You got him in 2 weeks, thanks to the interagency effort by the FBI and the CIA, went to Pakistan, and now 13 brave warriors who were senselessly murdered because of the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. They have justice, their families have a peace of mind, and we're going to continue to find the others, Mr. President. On behalf of the FBI, sir, I just want to thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Wow. Very powerful statistics, again, from Kash Patel. And it just, like so many of these other things, it just reveals that the Biden administration let this stuff happen on purpose. If all of this stuff can be done, it just like the border, right? We have to pass this bill, and really the border is secure. But if it is insecure, it's insecure because Donald Trump said not to vote for this congressional bill. And without that, what do we get? And then Trump just comes in and says, shut the border, and it shuts. Or just like the prosecutor that is family friends with James Comey for 9 months. We're trying to charge this guy, but I don't know if we have any. I don't think we're going to get an indictment. I mean, gosh, we're trying as hard as we can. And then in 5 days, Trump's personal attorney with no experience in these matters achieves the indictment. Okay, that's only possible with willful, deliberate sabotage. The reason crime is so high is not because we're incapable of dealing with it. It's because the people that were in power before didn't want to deal with it. They were busy sending FBI agents after J6ers and people protesting at school board meetings and abortion clinics. That was their priority. So they got them off the streets with extreme efficiency, because what they were doing weren't crimes, so they weren't running anywhere. But for the actual criminals actually violating the law and victimizing Americans, they couldn't be bothered. Now I wonder where the focus is, and I wonder if they really are capable of handling the top and the bottom at the same time. In other words, rounding up the random hood rat gangbangers, as well as prosecuting the higher ups, the James Comeys, the John Brennans, those types of people as well. It seems like they're having great success on the lower level of crime, but in the higher level of crime, we're not seeing the type of movement we'd like to. Because people like Todd Blanche, who's there in the Oval Office with Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, for some reason, for some godforsaken reason, this hasn't percolated up to Trump yet. He's a traitor. You need to get rid of him. I'm going to show you some more videos on the other side, specifically to back up everything that we've just heard from people on the ground, loving what they're seeing. But I got to tell you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Chase texted me before the show. He's like, dude, the hat is only today. If you want the hat and you get a free hat with every order, it's a very cool hat. It's an InfoWars hat with the cool kind of vintage radio design. You get it free with every order. No matter what you order, you get this hat, and it's today only. So go now, folks, thealexjonesstore.com.
You're not going to talk to me.
Fraud
and talk and over me.
New York residents
because you don't want
paid.
To hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you like shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government. And they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. You've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com. itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more.
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Tree will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Trump is apparently live still, taking questions from the press about Operation Summer Heat, which is very good to see. We'll go back to him in just a second. I did find the hat. Here it is. It's a very, very nice, very high-quality trucker hat with the sort of old-school InfoWars logo. Hats make my ears stick out, but they still look good. That, there you go. You get this for free. This is just absolutely free. Our gift to you. On top of all the other discounts and all the other, you know, reasons you have to go to thealexjonesstore.com, it's the relaunch Alex Jones Super Sale Fundraiser. After all, you know, the Supreme Court is allowing the deep state to shut down InfoWars any day now. We are prepared to launch our counteroffensive in the information war, but we need your help to ensure victory. That's why we're offering 25% off store-wide in this imperative fundraiser super sale. Plus, every order on the Alex Jones store gets a free InfoWars hat today only. Today only. This will end at midnight, so don't wait. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make a purchase. There's never been a better reason. Get anything, and it's 25% off. Plus, you get a free hat. Plus, if you're a VIP member, you're getting, you know, $40 for $30 anyway, and you can get the war bonds, and those are an extra, you know, $10 on top of whatever you buy. It's like you, there's all sorts of ways to save and all sorts of incredible products at thealexjonesstore.com. And, it's a very nice hat. I might have to take this hat home with me. I might have to order from thealexjonesstore.com and get a hat for free myself. Maybe I'll wear it backwards like the cool kids do. Well, let's go back to Donald Trump here talking about Operation Summer Heat and the success of his initiative.
A local prosecutor, his office staffed by somebody from DOJ. Jack Smith, picked as a special counselor, staffs his entire office with DOJ prosecutors. And then there are countless things that happen. All in writing, most of them on the docket.
This is Todd Blanche
talking. No explanation except a complete abomination of the place that the Attorney General and I run now and Director Patel. So when people talk about this department weaponizing, it's embarrassing. Because there's no scenario in which you can look at what we're doing, restoring justice, doing the right thing in every single case, and say that that's weaponization, and yet remain eerily silent about what happened for the past 3 years. I mean, you read these articles and giggle, because it cannot be true that people really think that what they did to him, not once, not twice, I'm still counting three, four times, but we're the ones that are weaponizing. So this man is not weaponizing the Department of Justice. We're not weaponizing the Department of Justice. It's the opposite. I mean, and also, nobody questions what I'm saying because it's true, because we all lived the past 4 years. So listen.
They never want to bring up the details, but I watch the fake news, and oh, he's weaponized, and he wants to send them to prison. He wants all this. They indicted me like five times. I took a mugshot. Who would have thought it turned out to my favor? Because it was a good shot. But I had to take a mugshot. It's right out there in the door. New York Post. Front page of every paper in the world. I had a mugshot. They wanted to send me. Nobody says that. They say, he's acting very, very tough. He's acting unfair. Let me tell you, if they've been nice to anybody, it's to those criminals. Because they are so good having to do with all of the things we're talking about today with violent crime. But if anything, I think this Justice Department has been so respectful of the law, because the other Justice Department with Rita or Lisa and all of that scum, real scum, what they did to the political opponent of a guy that has a seriously low IQ. Now, in his case, it was low based on his career, but it got real low, okay? It was descending rapidly. But what they did to go after his political opponent is legendary. Worse than any third world country, banana republic. And what we're doing is nothing. Are you kidding? Nothing. They write stories. Why aren't they doing this, this? And we'll leave. I don't have to leave it up to them, but I choose to at this moment at least. But there's never been anybody treated in the history of politics. You know, they say the two worst treated presidents by the media, et cetera, was that man right there, the late, great Abraham Lincoln, and this guy right there, Andrew Jackson. They say Andrew Jackson was treated terribly. They give him number one and number two, but that was before I came along, Newt. I say I have number one times 10. Nobody's been treated like I've been treated. And I did a great job. You know, we had a great first term. And we had one of the most successful economies in history, et cetera. I rebuilt the military. We did a tremendous amount. The last part, we had a horrible thing called COVID. And we handled that well. We made ventilators for nations all over the world. We did a great job. Probably never get credit for it. Look at the therapeutics, the Regeneron, all the different things, the vaccines, all the things we did. We did a great job, but we had to focus on that. But we had the best economy in the history of our country. We're blowing it away right now. Look at the stock market. It hit another all-time high today. That's 48 days out of the few days that I've served. 48 days have already hit record highs. And we have, maybe most importantly, the number we have now, we're saying 17, it's over $18 trillion is being poured into our country. It's because of the election and because of tariffs. Without the tariffs, you wouldn't have probably 18 cents.
That was a very powerful statement from Trump there, saying that what was going on with Joe Biden was like a banana republic, worse than a banana republic, worse than the third world corruption under Joe Biden. And he's exactly right. And of course, it's got to be infuriating. In fact, I know it's infuriating because InfoWars has suffered under the same fate as Donald Trump, to maybe a slightly lesser degree. But it's infuriating when you're being told you're the authoritarian, when you have been the victim of authoritarianism more so than anybody else, when they have dragged you and your family and your companies and your employees and your lawyers through the mud, through the judicial gauntlet, trying every hook and crook in the book to try to take you down. And then they turn around and say, you are a tyrant because you're expelling illegal immigrants that they let in by the tens of millions, by the way. As we explained yesterday, they are very concerned about due process when it comes to expelling immigrants. But the process for coming into America was hop the border. There was no process. There was no due process. And again, it's like, what is the value? What is the use of this entire system if you can let in 10 million foreigners, no problem, no restrictions, no judges stepping in to stop it, just no barrier to entry whatsoever. But to get those same people out, oh, it's impossible. It's a tangled web of bureaucracy. It's trials and hearings and Maryland men being sent to El Salvador and then sent back and then sent to Africa and brought back. And it's like, what the hell? So our system allows for the unencumbered, unrestricted entry of tens of millions of people, but to get anybody out, it's an impossibly difficult task. This is absurd. This is ridiculous. And again, as much as I get frustrated at Trump, at least we have one person with J.D. Vance, maybe two people that at least seem to recognize to some degree the level of like the attitude necessary in these times, that you don't, you know, defend yourself and apologize and back down and ask for forgiveness. You go, no, screw you. You did this to us. We're doing it to you. In fact, we aren't even doing to you what you did to us. What you did to us was actually evil, and we're not going to hold you to account for that. What you did actually was egregious and completely illegal, on the face of it, treasonous, I would say. And we're going to charge you with those crimes that you committed, which is entirely different than what they did to Donald Trump, which was fabricate crimes, try to come up with crimes, try to arrest other people that know Trump to get them to tattle on him and claim that he was involved in crimes. I mean, absolutely outrageous. And I can only imagine what it feels like to be Trump being called tyrannical when he has been the number one victim of the American tyranny in the world at this point. As he's still talking, let's go back to Trump for a little while.
These massive plants build their own electric generating plants. They're becoming utilities in addition to everything. Maybe they'll make more money with that. Who knows? But they're building their own electric, because we have an old grid. You wouldn't be able to do that. And we're dominating China. We're dominating with AI, which seems to be the new big thing. That's the new internet. That's the new whatever. So we're very happy with the job we're doing. I'm very happy with the job they're doing. But when you tell me about attacking a political opponent, there's never been, and I'm a legitimate opponent. I watch my son. He's got the number one best-selling book now. My son Eric is a wonderful kid. That guy spent so much time with subpoenas. He got more subpoenas than anybody in the history of our country. Think of it. And he's an innocent, good boy. He's a good kid. He's always been a good kid. All of my children are good. They went through hell. My children went through federal grand juries on a hoax. Think of it. You have Adam Schiff and Hillary Clinton and others make up a hoax and then wanting to put, so they know it's a hoax, and they go before the press, say, Donald Trump Jr. will go to jail because of what he's done with Russia. I'll never forget, I get a call from my son, Don, and he said, Dad, I'm being accused of something with Russia. I don't know anything about Russia. He didn't know anything about, think of it, how bad they are. They say he'll go to prison for the rest of his life. He knew nothing about it. On a hoax, the Russian hoax, Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, on a story that they made up. And they made it up in order to explain why Hillary Clinton lost an election that she lost by pretty good numbers. The second one, this one, actually the second one was even better, but the third one, this one was a too big to rig. It was just too big to rig. They would have rigged. They tried to rig it. But think of it. They want to send my children to jail, but they were after Don in particular. I'll never forget Adam Shifty Schiff, a total crooked guy, lying in Congress, making up a phone conversation that I have with you, totally made up. Then when he heard it was taped, he wanted to disappear. And Nancy Pelosi went crazy because they wanted to impeach me based on the conversation that was made up. When they heard the tape, everybody, you know, I won it unanimously in the Republican Party. I got every single vote, something that never happens, and I beat it. But think of it. They want to put my son in jail for something that they made up. So they know they made it up. And they say he will serve the rest of his life in prison. These are sick, bad people. And don't tell me about us going after them. If anything, we're... We've been very, very soft. I wouldn't be that soft. I'll tell you that. Thank you very much, everybody.
So again, a very, very powerful and fiery ending there. But the last line kind of throws me for a loop. He's exactly right about everything he's saying. I'm glad he's laying it out like this. But then he says, you want to talk to me about going after them? Frankly, we're being very soft. You know, I wouldn't be that soft. It's like, I wouldn't be that soft. You're in office right now. No, you are the one doing it. You are being too soft right now. That was kind of a weird line to end with. Very powerful up until that point. And even that, you know, I sort of get what he's trying to express, but that's kind of weird, isn't it? He's like, we're not going after these people too hard. In fact, we're probably being too soft. I wouldn't be that soft. No, you are being that soft right now. You're the one in office and you're being soft on these people. Like, that was weird. That was kind of a weird ending. If I'm being honest with you, that was kind of odd. Does he know? Does he know he's the president? I mean, I wouldn't be that soft. He's talking about the prosecutions that are happening right now under his DOJ, and he's saying, I wouldn't. So why do you have Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche standing next to you at that moment? But those are the people. It's either him or it's them. So he's saying, I wouldn't do it this way. It must be them. Why do you have them next to you? Why are you putting so much trust in them? They clearly are undermining your entire agenda. I've got two suggestions for the Trump administration. One of them I think would be a matter of just infinite convenience. He could do this with a single phone call, I think. It would take some funding, but he's got plenty of that. And that suggestion is produce documentaries. I think the Trump administration should be producing full-length documentaries about the things that have happened. Because Trump has never done a good job of explaining this to people. And the right wing just doesn't really have the institutional backing that the left does. If it was the other way around, we'd have 60 Minutes documentaries, we'd have 48 Hours documentaries, there would be HBO documentaries and Netflix documentaries explaining their side. I mean, there are these documentaries explaining the way they see what happened, covering only the information they want and ignoring all the countervailing information that, you know, disagrees with their central plot. They have these things, they produce these things, and these things convince people. Trump has never, like he will never, and I don't expect him to ever do a PowerPoint presentation about this stuff, but it would be very helpful. It would be very helpful. Because when he just goes off the cuff and is like, can you believe it? They tried to send my son to jail, you know, over something they made up. If you don't know the details of it, you can kind of just shrug that off and go, what the hell is he talking about? I guess the Russia thing. Okay, but nobody was sent to jail, so like, who cares? Like, they don't know the whole story. They don't know the background. You can't explain it off the cuff in a soundbite. Now, if he had the discipline to stand in front of a PowerPoint presentation and actually like read a script off a teleprompter and go through this and present it for the American people, I think it would convince a lot of people because the facts are all there. He's not going to do that. So why not just peel off $1 million, give it to a independent, high quality producer and say, make a documentary. Make a presentation explaining to people what really happened behind the scenes during Russia. It still hasn't been done. You know, we'd do it if we weren't tied up in lawsuits and being shut down and pulled in every different direction trying to defend ourselves. Another thing Trump should probably be looking into, which we'll get to my second suggestion in just a second, but I really think they have not done a good job of explaining this stuff to the American people. They have plenty of surrogates all over Fox News explaining this stuff. You need documentaries, especially documentaries that can be broken down into shareable clips that explain it thoroughly with all of the documentation in a single package where nobody has to confirm what you're saying. Nobody has to wonder what exactly you're talking about. Is he talking about the time earlier on or is this later in the campaign? Was this 24 and 16? What is it? Lay it out in a timeline and you could do like a trilogy. You could do like the first one would be the Russia collusion hoax. Everything involved in that. The second one would be the interregnum between, you know, the 4 years from 2020 to 2024. Or maybe that could be the third one. And the second installation could be COVID and how that was launched to destroy his presidency. Like nobody from the Trump administration or nobody on the Trump side has made these documentaries to actually explain to people what really is going on. I feel like that would be very effective and pretty cheap. And there's probably a lot of very talented people who could do it. Like me, like I could do it. In fact, Trump, hit me up. I won't even charge you $1 million. I just need the time. I just need the time to do it. But we don't have the time here. That's unfortunate. So my second suggestion, and this is just sort of a fantasy thing, but I feel like we need two presidents. I feel like we need two presidents. This is a little bit more of a, it's less of like a suggestion, more of like a constitutional rearrangement of our entire system. But it feels like Trump is so salt, like we need a external president and an internal president. We need a president to focus on the international stuff. He's dealing with China. He's getting peace in the Middle East. He's communicating with Russia. And then we need J.D. Vance, who's just the internal guy. He's the one deploying National Guard to the city streets. He can be the one, you know, going after discrimination things against Trump supporters, because it feels like Trump is just being pulled on all sides and spread too thin. And I just wonder if it's like, is this office too big for one person now? It's how the Romans used to do it. You'd have two consuls. You always had, you know, a consul and a proconsul, or, you know, two consuls. And maybe that's the way to do it, because Trump is so good on the international stuff, but he seems blind to a lot of the internal stuff. A lot of the domestic stuff seems to slip through the cracks because he's so focused on the, you know, honestly, and you know, debatably or admittedly, much more significant problems with China and World War III and, you know, just direct war with Russia. It's like, okay, he has to focus on those. I get that. But because he spends so much time on that, because he's so personally involved in those negotiations and the agreements and everything, not a lot of attention is being paid to what's going on internally. Although he's having success there, I'd like to see more. I'd like to see more of that. But one of the reasons why I feel like we need Trump himself and the Trump team to be producing things like documentaries or documentary series or whatever form it takes is because so often things are unveiled and it's like the things are revealed much later. And so you almost have two kind of timelines where you have the secret reality of what's really going on, that none of it's public until much later. So then you have this other timeline of like when things are revealed. And it can get confusing. So I've got a video here we'll go to, clip number 23. And this is about the January 6th committee collecting a bunch of, you know, cell phone information. And so when we read this, it's 4 years after the event. We're trying to, you know, this would have been nice to know all the way back then. But what I'd like to see is the in real time development of how these things occurred so that we can see it laid out in a timeline to where it's not. Because right now, anything about January 6th won't include what I'm about to show you. It won't include the fact that they were scooping up cell phone record data, you know, by the millions after January 6th. But that needs to be included. So we need to see the timeline of like, here's when Peter Strzok was sending this message. What was going on while Peter Strzok was sending this message? Oh, this stuff was being leaked to the New York Times. What was happening here? What was happening there? You know, one great example would be while Trump was being raked over the coals for the first impeachment. The first impeachment over Ukraine, and, you know, he was looking into what was happening in Ukraine. They freaked out about that, threatened to impeach him, actually did start to impeach him. He was under this impeachment. If you go to the date around October 2019, you're going to see every headline, bombshell, Trump, you know, new voice recording unveiled, whistleblower says this. It was like maximum pressure on Trump. The impeachment is coming down the pipe. Pelosi's out there grandstanding, barnstorming, yet saying all this stuff. Meanwhile, quietly, didn't have any headlines, secretly, in a building in New York, the planning for COVID-19 was going on. The Event 201 simulation was occurring with the former head of the DNI, Avril Haines, overseeing it with members of the Chinese Communist Party and, you know, media figureheads. They were plotting and scheming and planning to destroy President Trump's administration. He had no idea because he was focused on the impeachment that they were trying to destroy him with. So it's these types of things that it would be nice, I think, to be able to see, like a timeline of here's all of the machinations happening. Here's all of the behind the scenes sausage being made. And you didn't know it was happening, but here's what was happening while we were all being distracted by Trump's impeachment. Here's what was happening when we were being told, you know, Russia collusion was this big deal. It would be very interesting, I think, to have all of that laid out by the Trump administration. And maybe it's out there, but I haven't seen really a really solid, convincing, compelling, information-packed documentary like that. But what we're talking about here is some of the most dramatic political drama since ancient Rome. So it would be compelling. It would be a very interesting story to tell. And we just tell it in real time as we're learning it, but certain point, you need to go back and package it for people to absorb. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is just one of the many outrageously authoritarian acts of the Biden administration. Let's watch.
It turns out that the January 6th Democrat Select Committee actually gathered 30 million lines of phone records. That is a monstrous amount of phone records. Basically, according to the FBI document that I was allowed to see and write about, it was every phone call coming into the switchboard of the Trump White House. Now, you wouldn't need that to solve anything in January 6th, but you would need it if you were trying to figure out who was MAGA and who wasn't MAGA in America, who was calling the White House and who wasn't calling the White House, who was getting past the switchboard to the internal lines, meaning the insiders, the people that had access, the people who might talk to a president or his staff. That is not a legitimate function of congressional oversight. But Congress used a subpoena, and the phone companies just burped them up and turned them over, 30 million lines of data. I think this will become one of the greatest civil liberty stories that we've had in our lifetime, because now we know it wasn't just eight lawmakers. It was a monstrous body of documents, basically looking at anyone that was having contact with the Trump White House. Now, let's take it a step further. They finished this work in 2022, because Democrats get thrown out in the election. A year later, they're trying to give it to the FBI, who could never get this amount of phone data themselves. It's too broad. And they're trying to slip it to them on the eve of the election.
They captured 30 million phone calls from all over the D.C. area after January 6th. They found out who bought Bibles, who shopped at, like, Bass Pro Shops. They used January 6th as a massive data collection excuse and stole all this data from Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at TheAlexShowStore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching InfoWars.com in 1997, 28 years of the InfoWar. So that is the Veterans of the InfoWar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition InfoWars, Veterans of the InfoWars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if InfoWars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term InfoWar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the War Room is on. We have just so much to talk about today. And like I said, I mean, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have at least 8 videos sort of in this same genre. And they all happen to be black content creators just talking about how great President Trump's new initiative, this Operation Summer Heat, has been. Not just in Memphis, but places like Chicago as well. I don't even have time to go to all these, but I want to go to at least one. Let's go to clip 25 here. This is actually a couple guys because it's one guy watching a video of another guy. So we get a 2-for-1 here. Here's clip 25. This guy is very mad. People don't seem to understand what these ICE raids in Chicago really are about. And we'll return to this topic with J.B. Pritzker on the other side. But here's a little setup for the reality of what these immigration raids and the feds being deployed to Chicago, what this is really all about.
See, I'm pissed off because a lot of people out there are acting like they don't understand what is actually happening in the city of Chicago in regards to the ICE raids. Let me tell you something. Black people, again, are collateral damage in this. And all the black people that are getting mad at ICE and Donald Trump, hold on. You got to get mad at the politicians right here locally, because it was the politicians right here in your city that decided to dump the migrant issue on the black community like they do every single time. When they came across the border and checked asylum, they were able to come over into our city and get incentives like medical care, 6 months free rent, free transportation, free child care. We fed them each and every day. And those people that they were giving assistance to, they didn't go up to the north side and to the white community. All of the people out there protesting that are white, they didn't open up their doors for them, and they didn't want none of the shelters on their neighborhood. Guess where they opened up the shelters? In the black community. Those same school buildings that they shut down in 2013 that were educating black kids, they took those school buildings and they made them migrant shelters. And then they gave over $700 million to a company out in Florida to manage those shelters.
I'll do you one better. They did this in the middle of a budget crisis. And it's amazing to me that you can see Brandon Johnson, which I believe this gentleman actually ran, and I'm always linked back, so that'll be in the description of this video. It's funny because I think this guy actually ran for mayor against Brandon Johnson, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong inside of the chat. But it's funny because they did this in the middle of a budget crisis. They found hundreds of millions of dollars. We still don't know who owns these companies that benefited so much from this illegal migrant crisis. We know that Chicago was also leveraging it in order to try to get more money from the federal government, which was the coup that they were using during the Biden administration. And more importantly, the point that he made in that they dumped them. Now remember this, for all of you liberals, especially you black people that continue to vote these people in office, because it first starts at the local level. I tell people all the time, especially all of the people that try to convince me, oh, my vote don't matter or whatever. It absolutely does. It determines what happens between life and death, or if you're going to have an illegal migrant that's land right next to you in an apartment that you've been complaining about, or if your children is going to be going to school with them and you're going to have larger class sizes that y'all can't even afford from a budget deficit that y'all got with the schools and the city. They dumped them in your community and created the problem that Trump is solving right now. So while this young man, who I believe ran as a Democrat, is objective enough to call a spade and say, listen, the problem that they complaining about, and while they're telling you, hey, listen, Don't bother our illegal migrant community. It is the problem that they created that you guys continue to pay your tax dollars for and suffer as a result of. When you see things happening in your community, and when you see crime happening in your community, and you see illegal migrants, and you see a migrant that commits a heinous crime against...
And goes on. It goes on and on. In fact, you know, let's go to clip 7 here. I don't know if this is, you know, reflected in the stats, but I've seen so many videos like this. Let's watch.
I don't know how it go in your city, town, state. But in Chicago, when we go vote, you always got 2-3 women at the door telling you to vote all Democrat. They don't give you the history of nobody. They don't tell you what neighborhood these people from. They tell everybody in line, just vote blue. Now tell me what type of, I'm done, bro. I'm voting red.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Second hour is on. In the third hour, we'll be joined by Aiden. And I'm not even sure we have his last name, but he goes by Aiden X Itter. Aiden Zitter? I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Long story short, he has some inside information on the Young Republicans and the drama that has unfolded around that group of young people and their spicy group chat. So I want to get into that. I am going to get into that in the third hour, and he's going to join us to tell us what he knows, what's going on behind the scenes. So stay tuned for that. But I want to go now to some videos of Governor Pritzker as they really are desperately trying to get their civil war kicked off. And whether that is them just trying to encourage the chaos and the violence in the hopes that they can get something going, or whether they're setting the psychological, you know, groundwork for a false flag attack, I don't really know. But clearly, the Podesta plan is in motion. The Podesta plan is in action. I don't know how many times I've seen the clip from Alex with Tucker Carlson. I'm not complaining, but it's gone. It's spread like wildfire because people are seeing it. And they're recognizing, yeah, this is exactly what's happening. The Western Alliance, the cities and states, sort of de facto seceding. I even had an article a few days ago from a very prominent, you know, political publication saying it's time for soft secession, kind of like quiet quitting. It's like quiet secession. We're not going to declare that we're seceding, but we're just going to kind of ignore what the federal government tells us and push the envelope as much as we can until they finally respond, and then we'll act like the victims. And it's a convenient method of controlling idiots, is you just never say what you did. You never bring up the instigation that you're engaged in. You only show the response, and then you say, look how evil these people are. And we'll show you. I'll show you both here. I'll show you both. I wonder if I should show that first. I think first I'll go to J.B. Pritzker, but I could go to another 5 videos of black Chicago citizens praising Trump, saying this is amazing, saying this is exactly what we want. Safe streets, safe neighborhoods, free of gangs, free of illegal immigrants. There really is no way for them to actually frame this as tyrannical or authoritarian. Doesn't mean they're not trying. They just don't have too much to go on. Let's go to clip four first. Actually, let's go to clip six first. This is Governor of Chicago talking to the local Fox affiliate there and making, just like so many other prominent Democrat politicians have in the recent past, threats as to what will happen once the Democrats get back into power. Let's watch.
I don't trust at all that the Trump administration is going to hold any of these people responsible. We will. We're going to call for accountability. And indeed, you know, the tables will turn someday. These people should recognize that maybe they're not going to get prosecuted today, although we're looking at doing that. But they may get prosecuted after the Trump administration for the things that they did, because the statute of limitations won't have run.
The tables will turn one day. The people he's talking about there, obviously, are ICE agents and National Guard members that are there to defend the ICE agents. Will they prosecute ICE agents for supposed violations of somebody's rights? I wouldn't put it past them. In fact, I'm pretty much guaranteed that's what they're going to do. And in fact, they say that they have people on the ground now observing and watching and documenting and keeping track of supposed violations of one sort or another that they will later, you know, bring charges on. So it's certainly very, very possible that they get into power and they start sending National Guard members to jail for a very long time. Take a look at Derek Chauvin. He's been in jail for a decade. All he did was follow orders, do what he was trained to do, and a fentanyl-addicted scumbag died in his custody. So now he's getting stabbed by FBI informants in prison for the rest of his life. So yeah, they would definitely do this, but more importantly, more immediate, and the real purpose of him saying that is to intimidate a military men on the ground right now. His real goal is to create a more violent, a more unstable, and a more dangerous situation for the agents on the ground by implanting in their mind, don't do anything that we can frame you for. Don't do anything that we can take out of context. Don't defend yourself or you might go to jail once the tables turn. And it won't, you know, the statute of limitations won't have expired yet. So we're watching you. So when it comes down to that ultimate decision, do you tackle and arrest the Antifa member or do you let him get away? It's just a little bit more likely that they let him get away. A little bit more likely that they let their guard down, that they don't act as aggressively, that they're paranoid. This is literal intimidation that you would see in actual warfare. Like, he is treating the federal agents who are there constitutionally enforcing the law, nothing objectionable about this, for the vast majority against people that aren't even Americans. That's why they're there. It's why ICE is there, not to get Americans. They're not rounding up Americans. They arrest violent protesters, so-called, the rioters that are throwing rocks at the cops and other things. Yeah, they'll arrest them. But he's talking to them like they are enemy forces that he's trying to intimidate and demoralize so that they're more easy to kill. That's how he's talking. And again, it is just... And then they want to say that the right wing is like starting a civil war. He's literally trying to intimidate ICE officers and federal agents out of doing their constitutional duty by saying that they will be convicted for it later. Okay, that is like, that is, he is really pushing it. He's really pushing the envelope. Like, I think he wants to be arrested. And he does. He keeps saying, like, why don't you come get me? And, you know, I really wish Trump just would. Why not? I mean, it was truly unbelievable to me that he would threaten to use the judicial system, threaten the power of the state against individuals who are there following lawful orders to keep the peace on American streets. By saying that alone, he is clearly creating a more dangerous situation, a more explosive or volatile atmosphere in this already very tenuous peace that we have. Again, it is beyond insane. And I guess just for comparison's sake, before we go to the next clip of him saying another equally absurd and frankly treasonous thing, let's look at clip 48 here, because you have violent Mexican nationalists and open border radicals throwing rocks at law enforcement. So I didn't even, I mean, this whole interview was pretty long. There's like a 15 minute clip on YouTube. I think there's even a longer one out there. And I didn't clip out the parts where he is describing the protesters and describing people being attacked. But you don't need to hear it. You've heard it 10,000 other times. Fiery but peaceful, right? He says, well, you know, you've got these ICE officers attacking people. It's not illegal to wave a sign. It's not illegal to express yourself on the street. Like he's a champion of the First Amendment. Like he has a sacred duty to uphold free speech. These people are just all full of crap and just understand that. And they don't care about free speech. They don't, like, just none of that matters. But also, it's just a flat-out lie about what is going on the streets of Chicago. He is trying to portray it like there are just these innocent Americans that are having their apartment buildings raided by ICE, and they're being dragged out at gunpoint, and then the people standing on the side with a sign just being like, please be nice, or just getting, like, pepper balls shot in the face. It's insane how he's trying to portray this, but he has to portray it that way because he's trying to portray the lawful, legal action of the law enforcement there as if it's some violation of the Constitution and makes Trump an authoritarian. But let's go to clip 48 just to put in context who J.B. Pritzker is celebrating here, the so-called protesters, and who he's demonizing, the people on the streets getting rocks thrown at their heads by Mexicans in an American city. Let's watch clip 48.
Again, when you first got on scene and you were able to talk to some neighbors and some witnesses there on the scene and describe to us what initially...
Oh, Judy, wait 1 second. I see Chicago police are arriving and putting themselves in the middle of the situation right now. It appears there might be someone in command from what I can see approaching the area. I'm not sure if this is in an attempt to start dispersing the crowd. But we have just in the last few seconds seen Chicago police who had remained at bay now starting to put themselves in the middle of the – oh, God. Protesters are starting to throw rocks. We're going to get away from the scene right now, Judy.
Okay, Michelle, you take care of yourself. I'm going to let her get off the phone. We really appreciate it. Get to a safe place. So what you're watching, what you continue to watch is exactly what Michelle has been describing. This, again, at the intersection 105th and Avenue N. Last Michelle said is protesters started throwing rocks, and you can see that there is some chemical being deployed right there at this intersection. Just prior to this, you did see what appeared to be Chicago police officers and some commanders there trying to have some type of a dialogue with the protesters there at the intersection. It would seem that they were trying to disperse the crowd and maybe usher them off the street so that the agents could possibly move their vehicles. And it was at that point that Michelle noticed that protesters started throwing rocks, and this is the end result.
That's the actual situation on the ground as J.B. Pritzker preens and sobs these crocodile tears about these peaceful protesters being attacked by ICE agents. The reality is, oh, and by the way, this is the actual story from the Gateway Pundit. Two illegals ram Border Patrol during violent crash with rioters in Chicago. Two illegal aliens reportedly rammed a vehicle into a Border Patrol vehicle in Chicago, which later turned into a clash with left-wing protesters. After hitting the Border Patrol vehicle, the illegals fled in their car and then on foot when law enforcement stopped them, according to an DHS spokesperson. Video from the scene shows the ensuing clash between Border Patrol officers and left-wing protesters. Federal agents were forced to deploy tear gas to disperse the radicals who were reportedly throwing objects at them and blocking a roadway. So you've got an arrest being made, illegal immigrants ramming their car into a Border Patrol vehicle, fleeing, Border Patrol's chasing them, then chasing them on their feet, and then being surrounded by left-wing radicals who start throwing rocks at their head while they're waving Mexican flags, and they're forced to respond. And J.B. Pritzker says, this is authoritarian. Trump is causing chaos in our streets. That's what's really going on. And this is on top of the obviously months and months and months of deadly attacks against ICE. Sniper attacks and, you know, multiple people lying in wait and starting fires to draw out the agents and then firing on them with AR-15s from the bushes. I mean, time and time again, ICE agents and ICE facilities have been violently attacked, and in some cases, multiple people have died. They've been the detainees because, you know, they might be violent, but the left is not exactly capable of much. But he's going to act like there's no reason to have federal defenses there. Like there's no reason these people need to be on the streets. It is chaos. It is absolute chaos in Chicago. And it's not because of the ICE guys trying to arrest the illegal immigrants. It's because the illegal immigrants are ramming their cars into the ICE guys. And then a bunch of people are throwing rocks at the ICE patrols. And it's almost all because of the demonization of the likes of Governor Pritzker, who keeps calling them Nazis and jackbooted thugs. Oh, and then the federal agents get condemned because they deployed tear gas when illegals are using cars as weapons and attacking the Border Patrol vehicles, and then mobs of leftists are throwing rocks at their heads. Yeah, you got to let them. You're supposed to let them do that. I'm sure there's some lady judge somewhere that says you're not allowed to wear helmets. Wearing helmets is against the law, actually. You need to let them smash your head with rocks, and you need to take down your fence, and they shouldn't even have cars, probably. They should have to walk everywhere, and they shouldn't wear helmets, and they shouldn't be able to use weapons of any sort, and you should just be allowed to attack and kill federal officers, obviously. And I'm like, only a little bit joking. DHS dismantles fence around Broadview ICE facility after judge's order despite violence and riots. In the wake of a judge ordering a fence outside of a Chicago area ICE facility to be removed, crews were seen on Tuesday night working to take it down. The Broadview ICE facility had until midnight on Tuesday night to comply with the order and remove it. Workers were seen dismantling the fence outside the facility on Tuesday night, and per Fox 32, concrete barriers were put up in their place near the facility. U.S. District Judge LaShonda Hunt. U.S. District Judge LaShonda Hunt had ordered the fence come down in response to a lawsuit filed by Broadview. You know, the great thing about the Great Awakening, about the mass awakening of Americans, I don't even have to say it, do I? we have advanced, the right wing has advanced to a point where we communicate by telepathy. Do you know that? You might not be able to hear it, but there's a voice screaming in the heads of those of us aligned politically. I don't even have to say it, okay? Say what? I don't know. Whatever. Whatever you think I was going to say, you're probably right. So some dumb judge tells DHS, who's under relentless, continuous attack from left-wing radicals trying to kill them, that they have to take down the fence because you can't protect yourself. That's illegal. Like a fence is some big violation. Like a fence is going to hurt people. And of course, I don't think I need to remind you, but in case you need reminding, Mike Benz says this: Biden deployed 25,000 military troops to occupy Washington, D.C. in January 2021. 5,000 military troops stayed for two entire months. 2,300 military troops stayed for 4 months, all because of one Trump protest that lasted literally just 3 hours. Oh, they didn't have much to say then, when the entire capital city was put on military lockdown for months on end as a big show for everybody, so everybody can think that we're under attack and at threat of violent white supremacists who didn't bring guns to their insurrection. Retarded. More than 25,000 members were initially sent to help fortify the city for the inauguration of Joe Biden. The Capitol was sealed off with a 3-mile-long fence topped with razor wire, worrying lawmakers and residents who fear it could become permanent. Wow, where was a single judge then? No judge bothered to intervene in that and declare they had to take down the fence because the fence was protecting the Capitol, and they want those people protected from us rabble-rousers. Who they don't want protected are the federal agents that they're encouraging their followers to attack. Let's go to the next J.B. Pritzker video here, clip number 4. Here he is saying Trump is authoritarian and actually being put to the question of some of the statements of the leaders of Border Patrol who blame Pritzker for all of the chaos that's going on. He doesn't care. Let's watch.
He's targeted me. He's targeted the mayor of Chicago. He's targeted lots of folks. We've seen people actually being prosecuted. So this is a dangerous time. The president of the United States is causing mayhem on the grounds in our state. He is going after his political opponents. I don't know why anybody would look at the situation and not recognize that he is moving toward making the United States an authoritarian regime in his own image.
And, you know, at the same time, Border Patrol Chief Commander Gregory Bovino has said that you have escalated the threat level that they're facing. Their agents are getting doxxed. Their agents face threats. You call them things like jackbooted thugs. Are you adding fuel to the fire here to this tinderbox?
Now, you remember, this is the same guy that goes around thinking he's a social media influencer, filming himself saying provocative things.
Provocative things like the governor keeps calling us jackbooted thugs. Which is more provocative? The governor of a state calling agents of the federal government jackbooted thugs and Nazis that must be resisted, or a Border Patrol agent relaying that? This man is a menace. And I'm sort of like, the most upsetting thing is that he's actually good at this. He's actually good at framing things as if Trump is being authoritarian. If you don't actually know what's actually going on, if you're convinced by him that the Fed is just attacking people, waving signs, and you don't know what the reality is, no, they're throwing rocks at the people's heads. They're smashing into them with cars. They're shooting them with AR-15s. Another guy got arrested like 2 days ago who had been posting about wanting to kill ICE agents. He had a loaded gun in one of these protests. If you don't know that, then it can be very convincing, and that's what I'm, you know, mostly worried about. Well, let's go to clip 37 here, because this is Greg Bovino. But also, while I'm on the topic, anybody see J.B. Pritzker on Jimmy Kimmel yesterday or the day before? Doing a whole spot where he's walking around the streets of Chicago acting like it's all normal and there's, you know, nobody's in danger? And this guy wants to say, well, Greg Bovino, he wants to be a social media influencer. Well, you want to be a Hollywood star. It's just you're fat and ugly, so you went into politics. The temerity of these people, the hypocrisy of these people, the just endless lies of these absolute scumbags that are doing everything they can to bring about authoritarianism while pretending to decry it. You want to know how you can stop this coming authoritarianism in its tracks today, J.B. Pritzker? Arrest the damn criminals. Cooperate with ICE and they won't have to go raid anybody. Do the thing that you swore an oath to do, protect the people of Chicago from the ruthless criminals and the invading foreigners, and then nobody has to come from the federal government. You absolute moron. He's doing everything he can to exacerbate the issue and cause the problems. And then he's saying Trump's an authoritarian for simply solving the problems that he causes. Completely ridiculous. Here's Greg Bovino talking about what the reality is for ICE patrols on the ground in places like Chicago.
5 to 10 grand for kidnapping of ICE agents or Customs and Border Patrol agents, non-lethal assault. $50,000 for the assassination of high-ranking officials. Whew. Here's Greg Bovino. He works in Chicago. Says he had a bounty on his head. Watch.
We've got $50,000 bounties on the heads of federal law enforcement officers. We have criminals ramming vehicles, criminals bringing guns to protests. This is not regular street crime here in Chicago. We have assaults on Border Patrol agents, ICE officers, and our allied law enforcement agencies every day, often multiple times per day. And again, these assaults, the lethality of these assaults is increasing.
How can your officers respond to that effectively?
Well, there's, you know, power in numbers, there's safety in numbers. Secretary Noem, ever since that terror attack we saw in Dallas, she's been hardening our ICE facilities. President Trump has called in the National Guard, a very prescient and great strong leadership we've seen from the President of the United States. But, I mean, we are seeing a coordinated, highly organized waging of war on our law enforcement on the streets of Chicago. These men and women are simply enforcing the rule of law and doing their job, and yet there's these foreign terrorist networks who are going after them. They're using a tiered system of bounties to go after them, whether it be doxing their family members, kidnapping, even murdering these brave men and women.
It's just, it is absolutely insane. I mean, literally, you've got foreign international cartels putting $50,000 bounties on Border Patrol agents, and you've got the governor coming out and calling them jackbooted thugs, judges saying they have to remove fencing around their facilities, all the while they're being viciously attacked. It's a recipe for disaster, and it's entirely on them. This never had to happen. None of this ever had to happen. All they had to do was follow the law. This is all because they refuse to follow the law.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me, New York residents,
because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. You've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com. itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Tree will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
If you are
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room, Infowars.com. Yes, they really are trying to start civil war in this country, which is just suicidal in any number of ways. And I don't know. I just pray Trump and his administration have the wherewithal to deal with this, because they're not being shy about what they intend. You just heard the governor of Illinois say it. Tables are going to turn, and we're going to start prosecuting everybody who helped Trump. And they mean it. They're serious. And if they ever get back into power, it's not going to be good. So I'm sort of torn between, like, not giving them anything, not giving them any reason that they can hang their hat on, Trump being authoritarian, right? So, okay, in that case, you let the judges order you to take down the fence, and you take down the fence. You just don't do anything that gives them any ammo to say, oh, look, he's ignoring the judicial process, he's a tyrant, which seems to be working to some degree. But on the other hand, if he doesn't go hard enough right now, if he doesn't actually literally disenfranchise these people and rob their political power and make it to where they can't win elections for a little while at least, then it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter how closely he follows the law. It doesn't matter how, you know, sincerely he tries to just enforce law and not be a tyrant. They still are calling him one. They're still going to say he's one. So, you know, on the other hand, I'm just like, well, screw the judges. Screw Governor Pritzker. Throw him in jail. You have the power to do it. Just do it. Because the threat is, you don't do enough, they get back in power, and everybody who, you know, once had your back is thrown into prison forever. So it's really a tough situation, to be honest with you. But I say better safe than sorry, personally. I say better to just get done what needs to get done, and then you don't have to worry about what happens when they're back in power, because they won't be. But that's just me. Now, I want to talk about what's going on with InfoWars a little bit. Of course, yesterday was Supreme Court refused to hear our case, which is very annoying and troubling for the future of free speech in this country, future of media outlets, the future of law and order and the judicial process in this country. And I want to show some clips that I've talked about a lot. I finally went through and actually grabbed the clips. I want to show them to you from the trial, things I think illustrate what it was really all about at the end of the day. But this is from Wolf Krieger Esquire. Wolf Krieger ESQ on X. He says this: I'm an attorney and I need to make an important point about the InfoWars situation. This is not only about free speech. More importantly, this is about whether or not we have a functioning justice system or whether we are presently living under tyranny. The unwillingness of the Supreme Court to correct the grotesque abuse of the legal system against Alex Jones and InfoWars clearly demonstrates that right now, in this present moment, we do not live in a free country. We don't live in a liberal democracy, and we don't have a fair and impartial judicial system. They have successfully destroyed InfoWars through the most grotesque abuse of the civil legal system I've ever seen, and they won't stop until we're all slaves. This is the goal. We are all Alex Jones. We are all Charlie Kirk. We are all every victim of this tyrannical government that has been fully unleashed against the American people. This is a true emergency. The fabric of our society is under attack, and the hour is late. Can't say I disagree. Can't say he's exactly wrong here. And of course, Alex went over extensively on today's show all of the various ways that InfoWars was screwed over by the courts. But I want to go to some testimony that occurred in the Connecticut trial in 2023. And this woman is a disinformation expert, apparently. She is utterly insufferable. I cut out most of the insufferable part, but I left in a little bit just to give you a taste. Let's start with clip 42 here. Actually, Let's start with clip 43, because this will give you a idea of the way that they take what InfoWars does and tries to frame it as if it's some sort of nefarious plot. It's kind of hilarious when you really think about it, but it's also, this is an effective tool against normies. This woman, half of her testimony or more, was just flating herself about her academic, you know, certifications. And yes, that's it's a very highly qualified, highly respectable organization, actually. It's one of the best, I'd say. Like, half of her testimony was that kind of like, so Stanford, is that a good school? Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, it's literally just like vomit inducing. Let's go to 43 here, where they try to, well, really what she's doing is just describing reality. She's describing what media is, only she's doing it in a way to make it sound like Alex Jones is doing something nefarious and dangerous and evil and wrong. Let's watch.
Can you kind of describe the media environment? Why our current media environment allowed Mr. Jones to become so popular? Do you have a conclusion on that?
Yes, and I teach entire classes on this, so I will try to keep it as brief as possible. There's a few things I think that are important. The first is that the current media environment online is what we call an attention economy, which means that everyone is vying for views, for clicks, either to translate those into revenue through advertising, or just to translate it into influence, right? To get as many eyeballs in front of your page as possible. And so sometimes that translates into what we call clickbait, which means that you have a really salacious headline and someone clicks into it. It's not actually reflected in the story. But sometimes that's reflected more in the content itself and the fact that people try to publish really salacious content to get those views. But the other big way that I would describe the media environment right now is that on the internet, people are able to form really insular communities, bubbles, in which they reinforce each other's fears and anxieties and biases about the world. And often there are opportunists who will come in and stoke those fears as well.
In all of your professional work with InfoWars and during your work in your case, do you believe Mr. Jones is one of those individuals?
I do.
Oh, my gosh. We're exposed, folks. That's right. We make content to get people to watch it. I have to admit, she got it. She nailed us. We make content that people like and that people want to click on and watch. How evil of us, right? Of course, it's funny because I have sort of like the perfect example to illustrate exactly what she's talking about here. And it's from Politico. It's the mainstream media here today. The headline is, quote, "I love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat." So here you go. This checks all the boxes she's just talking about. Salacious, inaccurate headline that's disproven if you actually read the article. Just nonsense. The more you read it, the more like insane it sounds. Salacious. So it's, you know, invigorating and people want to see what it is. What she's doing is literally just describing the process of the media, but it's bad when InfoWars does it. Okay. It's bad when InfoWars does it. When you make headlines that are, you know, attractive that people want to click on, you know, with Politico does it, it's just, it's framing, it's messaging, it's mainstream media, it's journalistic practice, because of their super high integrity. When Alex Jones does it, it's clickbait and it's disinformation and he has to go to jail now. Completely absurd. But this is like what her entire thing was like. I actually teach a class on this, but I'll try to be brief. So the media tries to get people's attention to make money. Yeah, we know, dummy. She's the disinformation expert, okay? Here's the thing you need to understand, though. This woman is one of thousands of people across the country employed by universities to spend all day, every day studying InfoWars to try to figure out how to defeat us and to try to pathologize what we do like every other media company does. They want to take something utterly normal and frame it in a way that sounds devious and deceitful and manipulative. There's nothing manipulative about making content people like. And by the way, our entire mission, the entire time InfoWars has ever existed, has been to break out of the silo they have put us in. She's like, you know, these in the internet, they can create these little groups and they can reinforce what they believe. It's like, okay, you're talking about, again, the mainstream media who has silos, algorithmic areas set aside for them and them alone where no ulterior opinions or expressions of reality ever break through. And everybody else, like us, has been siloed off and banned off most places, but at the very least kept massively restricted to where they only want people that are fans of us and seek us out to ever find us. They have changed their entire algorithms for Alex Jones himself to stop him from being exposed to more people. In fact, I got another video about that. I wasn't going to go to it, but let's go to clip 44 here, where again, she just describes how much work goes into trying to keep Alex Jones from breaking out of the silo they put him in and being exposed to more people. And again, she tries to frame Alex Jones's popularity as some sort of crime he's committed. He's popular, therefore he's bad. And does she ever talk about Sandy Hook? Has she ever mentioned Sandy Hook? She does later, but no, most of her testimony is just demonizing Alex for being popular. Let's watch.
3 degrees of Alex Jones became a running joke. No matter where you started on YouTube, it was said, you are never more than 3 recommendations away from a video by the right-wing conspiracist who popularized the idea that the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012 had never happened, and the bereaved parents were mere actors playing parts in a murky conspiracy against gun owners.
Is this conclusion consistent with your research as it concerns social media and algorithms?
Yes, it is.
Okay, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, so over the years, YouTube has built up this a series of different algorithms, I think the most famous being the recommendation algorithm, which lists recommended videos on the side of whatever video you are watching. They also have their search algorithm, which decides what to return back when you enter certain search terms. They also have an algorithm if you have autoplay on. It's an algorithm that determines what plays next. And it turns out that Alex Jones and InfoWars content when he was on YouTube played very well in the algorithms. This content would get surfaced really easily, again, to people that were not even necessarily InfoWars fans or viewers. And so it was really easy for a really wide range of people to be exposed to this content. And on top of that, I think I can't speak to Mr. Jones' strategy specifically, but in general, it's common practice for people on these websites to develop what's known as SEO, search engine optimization strategies. So people very specifically will kind of work to get their content surfaced highly in those algorithms.
Yeah, again, you know, they got, I mean, guilty. Yeah, put the handcuffs on me. I mean, we're popular. I mean, what can we say? What can we say? People watch our videos. The titles of the videos often have to do with breaking news that's popular anyway. So people click on the videos, they watch it, they share it with their friends. I mean, how do we keep getting away with this? Why have we not been stopped already? It has to be illegal, right? Search engine optimization. I mean, sure, everybody does it. But when Alex Jones does it, I mean, this is scary stuff, folks. We got to put a stop to this. We got to put an end to this practice of Alex Jones being popular and people watching him on YouTube. This is unacceptable. I don't know what Alex Jones's practices are. Our practices are Alex Jones yells headlines at a writer and he writes them down and then the video goes up. That's the process, lady. And even if we had a highly sophisticated team working on search engine optimization, it would be the same that every other media company does. We don't even do that and we're more successful than them. We don't play these little games about search engine optimization and the right keywords and what can we say to try to get into people's feeds. People just like us. They just share our videos. They just watch our videos. They're just compelled by what we say. So they like us. They're literally trying to frame this as something punishable. This is the testimony that was given in the trial that cost us $1.5 billion. Because we're popular. Because people saw us. Because he was algorithmically, you know, important in the YouTube algorithm, which, by the way, they rewrote that algorithm multiple times trying to stop us from breaking out of our silo. But we kept breaking out because we're just that good. And is that illegal? Where's the crime? Where is the danger? Now, the reason that she's saying all of this is all a setup to try to portray Alex Jones as the only reason anybody cared about Sandy Hook So they build up his popularity so much, and they make all these insinuations like what he's doing is somehow tricking the algorithm, or, you know, by being popular, he must be manipulating people, right? Well, no, we just say what we think. But she takes that and then goes, okay, so all of these other people that actually did make a career off Sandy Hook, that actually did spend their time on that and talk about that a lot, if they were ever featured on InfoWars, then it's our fault. Then it's Alex Jones's fault. Everything they've written, everything their fans say, everything they do or their fans do, or anybody who reads their work does, it's actually Alex Jones's fault because he's so popular. Even though he didn't say it, even though it wasn't his fans that did the thing, it's his fault because he's popular. So it's his popularity that is really the crime here. And you can tell in that, I think that was the Rolling Stone article, or maybe it was another one of these tens of thousands of academic articles written on a yearly basis about InfoWars, trying to portray what we do as somehow bad. You know it's a collaboration. You know it's a conspiracy of some sort when they bring up Sandy Hook as if that's what Alex is famous for. Nobody before these trials would have said Alex Jones is the Sandy Hook guy. He was, A, not the Sandy Hook guy in his own audience. Like, that's not what anybody knew him for or came to him for. In fact, our audience would get mad that he wouldn't cover it more. Because the reality is there were other people that made entire careers, that wrote books, that made documentaries. There were journalists that spent years on Sandy Hook. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. So if you're writing an article about Alex Jones's popularity on YouTube, and the way you describe Alex Jones is the conspiracy theorist who decided that Sandy Hook was a false flag, that's because that's your mission. That's your design. That's not a natural thing to say about Alex Jones. The natural thing to say would be 9/11. To say 9/11 was fake. That's more popular and causes outrage in just about as many people. But they didn't say that because they wanted it to be about Sandy Hook, because the whole Sandy Hook trial was a collaboration between thousands of people in the media and academia, all like working towards making Alex Jones the Sandy Hook guy when nobody actually observing this ever thought of him as that. So it's telling there that that's the thing they describe him as. How big is this organization, this massive nationwide cabal of people studying, watching, observing, trying to defeat InfoWars continuously in a million different campuses all over the country? Let's go to clip 45 here. Here's our disinformation expert telling us exactly how widespread the anti-InfoWars operation truly is.
Listen off the materials that you reviewed.
Yes, so I reviewed about 1,500 pages of literature related to Alex Jones and InfoWars. Most of that was academic literature. I ended up reviewing about 30 studies for this case. Some of it was also journalism. Yeah, so basically academic publications and journalism.
Before this case, you were familiar with Mr. Jones and InfoWars?
Yes, it's impossible to research disinformation on the internet and not encounter Mr. Jones' work.
Your Honor, I object under Civil Practice and Remedies Code, Section 4111 at this time.
Overruled.
May I have a running objection?
You may.
When you say that anybody who is in the field of disinformation encounters InfoWars, what do you mean by that?
Well, InfoWars has an influence on the internet among creators of disinformation that's pretty unparalleled. One of the ways that we there's many different ways that we approach this research, but a lot of it is seeing who other figures retweet, repost, make content referencing, what sorts of posts disseminate throughout social media, which sorts of posts disseminate within certain social networks, and to say that Mr. Jones shows up frequently is an understatement.
Okay. I want to talk about a publication that you had entitled Media Manipulation and Disinformation Online. Do you remember that publication?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And where was that published?
That was published through the Data and Society Research Institute.
Okay. Do you consider publications from the Data and Society Research Institute to be authoritative in your field?
Yes.
Okay. Do you consider them to be reliable in your field?
Yes, and I believe they are considered that way.
Okay. Were you the sole author on that?
No, I had a co-author.
Okay, and who is that?
Alice Marwick, who is a professor of communication at University of North Carolina.
I told you I left in some of it, right? She talked about a paper she wrote. So they're like, you wrote this paper for this organization, right?
Yes.
Okay, and is that authoritative?
Yes, I think it is.
Oh, your paper's authoritative. Oh, you think your paper's authoritative, do you? Well, what a shock. What a surprise. Thank you for your expert opinion, lady. 1,500 pages, 30-plus studies. And another clip, she says, well, after 30, I started to get I reached my saturation point, so I was hearing the same things over and over. So 30 was enough. So I didn't have to go through the 1,500 studies about Alex Jones and InfoWars and how we are so effective and how we're so good at spreading our message. Do you understand? One, this is what the trial was about. It wasn't about Sandy Hook. It wasn't about whether Alex said anything about it or whether he was the influence. It was about, here's Alex Jones. He's so big. He's so popular. InfoWars is so influential. We have to take him down. That was it. That was the argument that was being made at the trial. And remember, when they say disinformation, what they mean is information. What they mean is information they don't like. And I'm telling you, look at the definition of disinformation. It can be true. They say it. They'll give presentations where they go, can disinformation be true? Well, yes, it can. It can be true, actually, but it's still disinformation. So it doesn't mean, it's a word that doesn't mean anything. It just means information. So when she's like, he's one of the biggest purveyors of disinformation, what she's saying is he's one of the biggest purveyors of information that we don't like, that we don't want him to spread. And so they're going to pathologize everything we do. Our popularity must be bad. We're popular, therefore it's bad. We have headlines that grab people's attention. That must be bad. We have an attention economy. We dominate in an economy driven by eyeballs, by attention, by awareness. That must be bad. Not that every other media company is trying to do exactly the same thing and it just isn't as good at it. No, it's bad when we do it because we're so good at it, because we're so popular. And I'm not exaggerating. Let's go to clip 42 here. Difficult to overstate Alex Jones's influence, but she tries. Let's watch.
It is difficult to overstate Alex Jones's role in spreading anti-government conspiracy theories. In 2011, a Rolling Stone article stated that Jones draws a bigger audience online than Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck combined. In 2016, the Washington Post reported that Jones claimed 5 million daily listeners. His YouTube channel, the Alex Jones Channel, has 56 videos with more than 1 million views each. I was about to read the citation. That's the end of the quote.
In the study, when it says that it's difficult to overstate Alex Jones' role in spreading anti-government conspiracy theories, is that consistent with your research and work in this case?
Yes, it is.
Can you explain why?
Yes. When scholars are looking at different producers of media online, I mean, there's a range of factors that we look at, but I would say that two of the most important ones are analyzing the content itself. So what is this person saying? What ideas are they promoting? And another equally important aspect is what is the size of their audience, or even beyond their core audience, what's the size of their reach? And in terms of combining the types of disinformation that Alex Jones promotes and the size and scale of his audience, I can't think of another person working in media who is comparable to him. He's unparalleled in terms of that combination.
Unparalleled. Unparalleled. Impossible to overstate his influence. Bigger than Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck combined all the way back in 2011. A juggernaut. A legend. My expert opinion on Alex Jones is based on my expert opinion on Alex Jones. Thank God. I mean, what would we do without ladies like this? What would we do without tons of childless women studying Alex Jones and getting mad at how popular he is and trying to come up with ways to frame his success as somehow bad in order to destroy him? So, lady, you know, I'm glad you got this time in the spotlight, highlight of her life, going up there and trying to portray having headlines as being bad, as search engine optimization being something uniquely evil that Alex Jones does. Congratulations, lady. It was your one blip of relevance in your entire life, and nobody even heard of you at the time and only know about it because I'm telling them. So you're welcome, lady, for the fame you so obviously crave and are incapable of earning.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
Process through which Alex Jones became as popular as he did. I think content creators and people producing media online rely on, as I said, getting people's attention. And so what he was really talented and successful at doing was finding conspiracy theories and pieces of disinformation that proved really... for lack of a better word, like sticky. They resonated with audiences and spread and disseminated really widely, and then it becomes a cycle from there. So once one conspiracy theory becomes particularly popular with a group, that draws in new audience members for him, makes his audience bigger, and then it means the next conspiracy theory he can promote will already have a bigger built-in audience, and it will disseminate even more widely, and so on. And so this is kind of the feedback loop that we observe happening both with Mr. Jones and others like him.
Oh my God, he has to be stopped. I mean, isn't this illegal? You make something that's popular so people start watching you, and then they keep watching you when you say other stuff? I mean, how does he keep getting away with it? It's insane. No, it's just the media. It's just how it works. Just how everything works. Just completely normal. Totally. Just what everybody does. But when it's Alex Jones, it's bad. When it's Alex Jones and it's InfoWars, it's devious. It's gotta be some sort of plot that we're working up. Like, do you realize who's the real conspiracy theorists are here? They're trying to take the idea that you say things that are popular to grow your audience and trying to frame that as somehow bad. Okay? So, it's ridiculous. Welcome. Welcome to our audience that we grow and continue to grow. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Here's a powerful video you need to watch. 36.
Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. Three nations spread across three different continents. But despite the distance, one alarming truth connects them all. They are collapsing in exactly the same way. And now, the symptoms are impossible to ignore. Let's begin where the cracks are turning into a full-blown collapse, Canada. In Canada today, the average family can't afford a home in their own country. Home ownership has crashed 31% in a single generation. Compounding this issue, foreign buyers now hold a significant stake in the Canadian property market, owning up to 13% of it, more than at any point in history. But Canada isn't alone. In Britain, the foundation of the middle class has been gutted. Manufacturing jobs gone, down 46% since 1990. And what did families get in return? The highest tax burden since World War II. All while public services fell apart. But this isn't just a British problem. Across the world, Australia is living the same nightmare, only deeper. There, a quiet takeover is underway. Foreign corporations now control 80% of the country's critical resources. And the dream of home ownership, dead on arrival. Housing prices have soared by 500%, while wages crawled just 80%. Young Australians are being priced out of their future in their own country. And this pattern across continents, across governments, is no accident. This isn't just failure. It's not bad luck. It's called managed decline, and it's happening by design. And if you're watching this thinking it can't happen here, you need to pay attention, because these three nations are the test cases for what's already occurring throughout the Western world. Most people have no idea that the collapse of these three nations follows a familiar historical pattern. Every empire throughout history has fallen in a similar way, from the inside out. Take ancient Rome. Most think it fell to barbarian invasions, but Rome's real decline began internally through economic inequality that mirror what's happening across Canada, the UK, and Australia right now. By the 2nd century AD, as Rome's expansion slowed, the wealthy elite created massive estates worked by imported labor. This destroyed local Roman farmers, the backbone of the Republic, who were crushed by debt and displacement. Sound familiar? It should. It's the exact same pattern unfolding today. When Roman reformers tried addressing these inequalities, they were eliminated. The elites chose to get rid of reformers rather than give up their power.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Oh,
because you showed
up. Is that the way to
talk? You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that right?
If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. But we're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not gonna shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and gear. Promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Can't keep getting away with it, folks. He made a website that's popular. How dare he? He says things that are intriguing to people. What? That can't be legal. How do we stop this man? I'm sorry, the way they stop Alex Jones. The only way to stop Alex Jones is to somehow hijack your mind and get you to not go to thealexjonesstore.com. That's the only way we go down. If you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com, if you go to thealexjonesstore.com, we'll be here. We'll be here for as long as humanly possible. It really is entirely up to you. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com and win this stylish hat. Actually, you don't even win it. You just get it. Actually, you win every time. Talk about a 360 win. This is like a 360 with a backflip at the end. You get this hat for free, no matter what you order. Make an order at thealexjonesstore.com before midnight tonight, and you get this free hat. It's very high quality. It's very nice. Fits me rather well, I must say. And the design is very cool. I actually, probably one of my favorite InfoWars logos ever. In fact, probably my favorite InfoWars logo. It's got that retro feel with the lightning bolt in the middle. You get a free hat at thealexjonesstore.com with any purchase today. And that's on top of a 25% store-wide discount. It is the Alex Jones, relaunch Alex Jones Super Sale Fundraiser. You can get 25% off store-wide, plus every single order on the Alex Jones store today gets that free InfoWars hat today only. You can also get a war bond for $100. It gets you $110 in store credit mailed to you with an authentic war bond collector certificate. And you can show your children and grandchildren when they ask if you fought in the information war. And, of course, we have the information war veteran shirts that are available now, thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And we have a lot of news still to cover in this final hour, but I'll be joined in the next segment by Aiden, who has some experience behind the scenes at the Young Republicans and was sort of out front defending the Young Republicans from the hit piece against them that I'm about to get into. But just in the meantime, let me just give you some headlines that I haven't been able to get to today and probably won't be able to expand on very much, but very interesting either way. Trans identification is in free fall amongst the young. And here you see a chart, share of students not identifying as male or female, and it doesn't really exist until about 2019. Then it starts an uphill climb, peaking at around 2023, and then declining again, which is very interesting because I was told that this wasn't a social phenomenon. I was guaranteed that this was, you know, the natural consequence of people just embracing who they really are. I was told it was not unlike the rate of left-handed people, where, you know, prior to left-handedness being accepted widely, there were no left-handed people because everybody was forced to be right-handed by this damn oppressive patriarchy that we're under. And then as soon as you stopped discriminating against them for how they were born, you saw that number skyrocket and then plateau, and it's been the same rate of left-handed people ever since. Not so with transgenderism, because it was never a fact that 50% of people were secretly in the wrong body, but too oppressed to actually say it and be themselves. No, it was a social contagion that we're finally becoming immune to, I guess. From Gateway Pundit, the transgender trend is dying. College students are ditching transgender and non-binary identities in massive wave. It's a clear sign that the radical gender ideology push is losing steam. New data reveals a shocking drop in the number of American college students identifying as transgender or non-binary just 2 years after the trend peaked under the Biden-Harris administration's influence. So, trust the science, folks. Meanwhile, and perhaps aligned with this, Christian revival sweeps U.S. as data shows sharp rise in religious engagement. Data indicates that Christianity in the United States is seeing a notable growth, across several sectors, including Bible sales, faith-based app use, and Christian music streams. According to Circana BookScan, annual U.S. Bible sales have increased 41.6% since 2022. Downloads of religious and spirituality apps are up 79.5% since 2019, according to Sensor Tower, suggesting renewed interest in digital faith tools. In the same period, Illuminates Music Insights reported Spotify streams of contemporary Christian music rose 50%, making a steady increase in public engagement with Christian content. And I wonder if this, like, I wonder how much of this has to do with people genuinely embracing Christianity more and becoming more Christian, and how much does it have to do with just mainstream stuff being disgusting and inappropriate? Because, you know, if you have kids and you want to put on a movie or you want to play some music, you can't really put on much these days. And in fact, if you want something that you can just put on and rest easy, knowing you're not going to hear anything, or your kids aren't going to hear anything you don't want them to, you put on Christian music. It's going to be about Jesus. So, like, well, what's the harm there? Anything else might be a little racy, might be a little bit, you know, disgusting. So I wonder which one of those, how much of that has to do with a profound revelation of, you know, growing Christianity, or how much it has to do with just Hollywood and the music industry being satanic pedophiles. I wonder. Meanwhile, the ceasefire seems to be holding. There's some developments in that. Apparently, one of the bodies that was delivered to the Israelis turned out not to be the person that they said it was. So I guess that's kind of one of the problems you're going to run into when the people holding your hostages are being bombed by you relentlessly, and that many of the hostages are still under rubble or can't be discerned who's who because of the, you know, murder that's been going on. So that was a story from today, but Apparently things are holding. Here's another one. Israeli soldiers torched food, homes, and critical sewage treatment plant in the wake of ceasefire announcement. Because, of course, they did. In the immediate aftermath of Donald Trump's announcement on Thursday that both Hamas and Israel had signed off on an agreement to stop the fighting, Israeli military launched an arson spree, setting fire to civilian infrastructure, including the destruction of an essential sanitation plant in Gaza City. Just the worst. Just the worst. So I'm glad the ceasefire is holding for now, but they're just the worst. Vatican Library grants Muslim scholars a prayer room. So this is what I mean. Do you remember yesterday I started the whole show off with this long rant about how thoroughly screwed we are because every single institution is infested with liberals? That, like, you know, whether you're talking about the judiciary or the mainstream media, it's just, you know, you're either in an organization that is wholly dedicated to liberalism and from the top down is just 100% liberal, or you're talking about a nominally conservative organization that always has at least one person who's not on board and is doing all sorts of stuff to screw it up for everybody else. This was in regards to people like Todd Blanche. Just like, why the hell is he there? How did he get this position? Why is this ultimately important bottleneck position for one of Trump's main missions as president? Why is an anti-Trump Democrat in charge of that? Just how does this happen? Why does this happen? And then I get off the show and I find out that the Young Republicans apparently have one of these figures screwing it up for everybody else, a traitor in their midst. We'll get to that story in just a second. But meanwhile, the Vatican, the homeland of the Catholic Church. Now, if there's one organization that you would think out of any of them would be able to resist the pernicious influence of the modern age, that would be able to theologically and by doctrine avoid the pitfalls of liberalism and suicidal altruism, you would think it would be the paragon of conservatism, the Catholic Church, who have preserved their practices for 2,000 years. Debatably, arguably. They now have a prayer room for Muslims inside the Vatican, inside the Apostolic Library, the Library of the Apostles. Vatican Library grants Muslim scholars a prayer room. How nice of them. And I'm sure one of these days Saudi Arabia will allow a single church in their country. I'm sure that's coming. The discrepancy, the inequality here is just absurd. Do you know that Saudi Arabia does not have a single church? Not a single church in the entire country. Our greatest ally in the Middle East. Second only to our greatest ally in the Middle East. Muslim scholars visiting the Vatican Apostolic Library are being accommodated with prayer spaces, the vice prefect has confirmed. Well, hell, they're, you know, they're having Pachamama pagan rituals. He's blessing ice because of climate change. They're letting Muslims pray inside the Vatican now. I mean, no wonder our Western civilization is just collapsing completely. We've got another very interesting story that I'm not going to get into today. I'm going to save it for tomorrow, but people have been researching Google searches having to do with Charlie Kirk, and I'll just have to cover it tomorrow, but it's very interesting. Basically what they found is that there are spikes of searches for things like the hospital Charlie Kirk went to, the surgeon that saw him, things like that. Tyler Robinson, the shooter, Patsy, whatever you think he is, about 2 months before the event, isolated these spikes of searches. Because what they do is they can search Google and say, you know, did anybody search this phrase? And it'll give you, you know, a chart of how often that phrase is searched. But when it's a very rare search phrase, it'll actually give you the location that the search originated. So you have all of these searches for names and locations surrounding Charlie Kirk's assassination, all occurring about 2 months before the assassination occurred and all of the searches being localized in Washington, D.C. and Israel. So we'll get into that probably tomorrow. I'm going to try to bring somebody on who can give us the breakdown on that. And finally, before we go to this I Love Nazis story, here's something which is the opposite of Nazism, I'm pretty sure. Christian couple barred from being foster parents for refusing to agree with gender affirmation policy in Massachusetts. A Massachusetts couple says their foster care license was revoked after they declined to sign a state policy requiring foster parents to affirm the gender identity and sexual orientation of children in their care. They fostered 8 children under the age of 4 since 2020, but they have now been disallowed from doing that because they won't make their kids transgender. So if you're a gay couple and you want to buy a child, you can actually pay a woman to be inseminated, and then the moment that baby's born, take it from its mother and keep it as a pet. That's fine because they're gay, and gay is good. So they can raise the kid to be gender fluid. They can raise him to understand sexuality from a very early age, being the way that that community grows and spreads. That's fine. But if you're a Christian couple that says, no, we're not going to tell our child that they're born in the wrong body, then you're not allowed to be a foster parent. Okay, if you're not allowed to be a foster parent with those beliefs, why are you allowed to be a parent with those beliefs? I mean, if that belief is so outrageous that you would rather let a child remain in an orphanage, remain uncared for, without a home, rather than allow a loving Christian couple to take them in, if it's that big of a deal, why are they allowed to have children? And how soon are we? And really, it's a rhetorical question because this actually already happens in places like California, where if parents don't agree to allow their child to be brainwashed by pedophiles in the school system into castrating themselves or chopping their tits off, then the state will take your child away from you. And this, I feel, is another major step in that direction. What's the argument? If they're not allowed to foster kids when they have that belief, why are they allowed to have children with that belief? This is the way things are going, folks, and we can stop it now. Completely outrageous. Don't say we didn't tell you. Don't say we didn't warn you, folks. Don't say we didn't know where this was going from the very beginning. You can't deny that Alex Jones is on record warning about this exact situation coming to fruition years before anybody else even knew what transgenderism was. And that's yet another reason you should support us at thealexjonesstore.com in case you needed another one. Let's get into the story that broke yesterday. Oh my God, it was the biggest deal. Statements from everybody. Everybody was outraged, except nobody actually cares. Nobody actually cares. All of the outrage is fabricated. And nothing that was said, in my opinion, was really even all that offensive. The story is from Politico. Bombshell story here, folks. Quote, I love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat. Get out of highlighter for this one. Leaders of the young Republican groups throughout the country worried what might happen if their Telegram chat ever got leaked, but they kept typing anyway. They referred to black people as monkeys. Oh my God. And the watermelon people. Oh my God. And they mused about putting political opponents in gas chambers. Oh my God. There's no way there's context around this that makes it absolutely nothing. No, there is. Now, spoiler alert. No, it's absolutely nothing. They talked about raping their enemies and driving them to suicide and lauded Republicans who believed they support slavery. Would it surprise you to know that nothing I just said is even remotely true? none of it's true, folks. People are dumb, and they're going to only read the first paragraph, or they're only going to read the headline, and they're going to think that there's a bunch of young Republicans unironically saying they love Hitler. Not the case. And they say that in the article, but again, the point of the mainstream media is to tell you the truth, technically, but leave you believing a lie. Were the words I love Hitler said? Yes, they were. I admit. Somebody said I love Hitler. It was in response to somebody saying, whoever is most right wing will get the most votes. Somebody responds to that? Well, I love Hitler. Oh, I'm going to say the most right wing thing I can say. Nobody's going to outflank me on the right. not actually saying he loves Hitler. It was a exaggerated, hyperbolic joke response to the claim that whoever's right wing wins. I know, I'll say the most right wing thing I can say. I love Hitler. Ha ha ha. And everybody laughs at it in the group chat because nobody takes it seriously. Because nobody involved believes that they really love Hitler. But that's the headline. But the headline is, I love Hitler. Racist chat. Completely ridiculous. William Hendricks, the Kansas Young Republicans vice chair, used the words nigga and nigga, variations of a racial slur, more than a dozen times in the chat. Bobby Walker, the vice chair of the New York State Young Republicans at the time, referred to rape as epic. Oh, my God. Peter G, who at the time was the chair of the same organization, wrote in a message sent in June that, quote, everybody that votes no is going to the gas chamber. Oh, my God. Did they have a gas chamber? I can't believe they're admitting to having a gas chamber and putting people in it. Are you outraged yet, folks? I mean, they're joking about Nazis. They're saying nigga. They're talking about gas chambers. I mean, my God, what are we going to do? Peter was referring to an upcoming vote on whether he should become chair of the Young Republican National Federation, the GOP's 15,000 strong member political organization for Republicans between 18 and 40 years old. He says, I'm going to create some of the greatest physiological torture methods known to man. We only want true believers. Two members of the chat responded, laughing, I guess. And it's like, okay, do you understand what they're saying? So earlier in this, on this page, I haven't gotten to the second page yet. We're still on the first page. On the first page, they claim they talked about, quote, raping their enemies, driving them to suicide, and lauded Republicans who they believe supported slavery. They said they mused about putting their political opponents in gas chambers. He's describing people in his own group. He's saying you should vote yes, and if you don't, we're going to throw you in the gas chamber. If we don't, we're going to kill you. Anybody think that's true? He's talking about his friends. It'd be like me in a group chat with InfoWars people saying I'm going to, you know, anybody on the American Journal crew is going in the gas chambers. Am I really threatening the crew from American Journal, or is this a joke amongst friends? Is it an edgy joke? Sure, I guess. Did they exist, though, is the real question. Everyone that votes no is going to the gas chamber, and everyone that endorsed but then votes for us is going to the gas chamber. Again, it's just, they're just like being edgy, and they're like, oh, when do we start bullying people? Right? These are debate team captains, folks. I'm sorry, but these mostly, if you're a young Republican, if you're like in, the Young Republican crew, you're probably on the debate team. You're probably a very good kid. You're probably like too good of a kid. You probably are like missing out on some pretty, you know, important development, you know, parties because you're at home studying the Constitution. Okay. These are like the nicest kids ever. And they get a little edgy in their group chats. Okay. That's what happened. That is the entire story. Now I got videos from Kathy Hochul acting like this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Chuck Schumer saying this is just, I mean, how can we stand for this? What, jokes amongst friends? Saying they're going to, you know, put other people in their club in gas chambers. I'm going to devise psychological tortures for them. Now, the interesting thing about this depends on who you ask, but as a hardliner myself, most of these people ain't white. So they can't be racist. Checkmate, liberals. Checkmate. You're talking about a bunch of, well, I can't even pronounce this guy's last name. G-I-U-N-T-A. Junta? Do I need an accent to pronounce this? That's not an Anglo name. That's not an Anglo-Saxon name. That's Hispanic. So he can't be racist. So case dismissed. Your Honor, the man is Mexican. How can he be racist? We know. According to the law, racism is power plus prejudice. This man has no power. He's Hispanic. I rest my case. If they vote for us, why would they? Like, literally, they're like, oh, my God, it's just so goofy. We have a solid three people who can probably have them want to jump. If they vote for us, why would they be gassed? Because we only want true believers. So he's like, if they speak against us but still vote for us, it's not good enough. They got to be committed 100%. It's literally just sarcasm. Sarcasm, jokes, hyperbole. Can we fix the showers? Gas chambers don't fit the Hitler aesthetic. That's kind of clever. He's like, no, we want to be like Hitler, so we're not going to use gas chambers. Get it? I'm ready to watch people burn now. They're like, she's ready to watch people burn? No, she's talking about other people in her little Republican club, and she's pissed off because the other side is pulling tricks. The other side is being underhanded. And they're joking. They're like, oh, we'll get them. We'll tell them it's a shower, and then we'll hit them with the gas chamber. It just goes on and on. And I'll read this, and I'll show you some responses. Kind of the only person I've seen on the Republican side, a high-value figure in this debate, the only person who's defending these people is J.D. Vance. But I'm defending him because this is nothing. Who cares about this? This shouldn't offend anybody. If it does, you're a loser, okay? And I think I know what we should do with you. I have this chamber that I think I know how to use.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me, non-New York residents. Because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, these will be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com. itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more.
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Blasting off into the final segment of The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're talking about the Young Republican group chat that was leaked yesterday. And, you know, there were leaked, they leaked this group chat and then everybody died. It was, there were no survivors, unfortunately. After all, you know the power of words and jokes. You know the power of racial slurs said in jest. I mean, can't believe we all made it out of this alive. I mean, thank God we stopped these menaces. The 2,900 pages of chat shared amongst a dozen millennial and Gen Z Republicans between early January and mid-August chronicle their campaign to seize control of the National Young Republican Organization on a hardline pro-Donald Trump platform. Many of the chat members already work inside the government or party politics, and one serves as a state senator. Together, the messages reveal a culture where racist, anti-Semitic, and violent rhetoric circulate freely. Yes, and jokes. Yes, jokes about everything circulate freely. How do we put an end to this? Now, meanwhile, on the left, just actual violence is encouraged. You have the leader of the attorney general race in Virginia, in a very sincere way, advocating for murder to get his way politically. I think I sent that to y'all to print out. I don't know if I have it here, but I don't think I've ever actually read the full, you know, exchange with that AG. But it's legitimately like chilling, because he doubles down multiple times. That guy's not joking. When Democrats are saying this stuff, they're not joking. And he's like, yeah, you know, I want to shoot these people. And the guy he's texting with is like, dude, you know, people are going to take you seriously. And the guy's like, no, I am serious. And he actually says, I don't know if we can get the exact quote, but paraphrasing here, his response is, people only change their minds when they feel the pain of their policies. And it's like, that dude is a psychotic. That dude's actually dangerous. That's not a joke. That wasn't friendly banter amongst friends trying to show how edgy you are. And these are young people. These are babies. These are toddlers. These are little toddlers walking around. I'm kidding. I mean, they're young. It's the young Republicans. It's like college atmosphere. This is the way dudes talk to each other in group chats. It's not that big of a deal. It's just like actually not a big deal at all. But I was getting calls yesterday. I was getting contacted from people inside the Young Republicans associated with this, maybe not named in the article, but getting wrapped up in it. And they're like freaking out. They're young guys. They're very young guys just getting started. Genuine patriots, genuine Republicans. They want to have a future in politics. And they're like panicking. They have like a pit in their stomach and they're like, oh my God, my life is over. Like they're thinking that their entire political career is over now. And so I want to tell them, like, chill, y'all, chill. It's fine. Nobody's going to remember this in a week. The outrage is fake. The outrage is fabricated. Nobody actually cares about this. The Democrats routinely cover up or make excuses for or condone the most vicious and outrageous racism, hate, violent rhetoric from their own side. They don't actually care about that. They're just trying to get you on something. They're trying to hurt Trump. They're trying to hurt the movement. They're trying to hurt Republicans. They're trying to get back to an era where these words had meaning. Racist, anti-Semitic, whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter, and it's going to matter less and less as the longer time goes on. So don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't back down. Don't apologize. That's the only thing that can happen. So my advice for anybody out there, young Republicans, you're worried about this. First of all, maybe be a little bit more careful. Okay? No, you know, every group chat can be leaked. and probably will be at a certain point. So just be aware of that. There is some fault on this, you know, part of these people, because you know how it's going to look if it does get leaked, even though you're joking, even though you know the context, even though everybody in your group chat knows exactly why you're saying it and how you're saying it and that you don't really mean it. It will look bad if it's published. Everybody should know that. So be aware of that, and maybe don't say things that you don't want published. That's pretty easy. Same thing you should do to talking on the phone. I mean, people can record phone calls without your knowledge. Don't say something you don't want people to hear. This is just, I mean, we live in a world of, like, we're surrounded by psychotic tattletales. You almost have to act like you're a mafia member just to be a conservative these days. Put your phones in the freezer before you have a dog. I mean, seriously, it's crazy. But that being said, don't back down. Don't give in. Don't give credence to these people's faux outrage. They're just trying to get you to bend the knee. And so I want to encourage the young Republicans, you know, involved in this or whatever. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Everybody in America has your back. It's only the trying to think of a nice word. I'm reading all these words and they're stuck in my head now. The unpleasant people at the top of political organizations that are feigning outrage about this. I genuinely don't believe it. I don't believe it. And it's people like this. This is another one of these characters, another disinformation expert, probably a contemporary of, you know, Ladyboy that we were listening to earlier. Joe Feagin, a Texas A&M sociology professor who studied racism for the last 60 years, he says he's concerned the words would apply to public policy. It's chilling, of course, because they'll act on those views. Can you imagine studying racism for 60 years? I mean, my God, what a waste of a life. And how do you study racism for 60 years and you can't identify jokes? You can't determine what's real racism versus what is banter amongst loving people? What have you spent your life doing? You spent 60 years studying a topic and you don't understand the basics about it. That's very disturbing. You think they're going to act on these views, do you? You think that because they joke that, hey, we're going to put the other young Republicans in gas chambers because we're the big bad guys. We're the super far right. Ha ha, wink, wink, nod, nod. We're gonna psychologically torture them for opposing us, lol. You think they're going to put that in motion? You think they're going to, if they get power, they're genuinely going to put people in gas chambers? That's what you're saying, sir? You hysterical woman? What are you talking about? Ridiculous. The group chat spoke freely about their pressure to cow to Trump to avoid being called a rhino, the love of Nazis within the party's right wing, and the president's alleged work to suppress documents related to wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein's child sex crimes. Now, when they say the love of Nazis within their party's right wing, do you think that is an example of them telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Or do you think that's something wildly out of context that almost certainly is about their frustration with the amount of people on the right wing that think Nazis are cool? We talk about the love of Nazis within the right wing all the time on InfoWars. We hate Nazis. Yeah, that's possible, folks. It's crazy, but you can hate Nazis and still recognize that some of the right wing are falling into the trap. Here's one line of proof of just how bad these guys are. Quote, Trump's too busy burning the Epstein files, said Alex Dwyer, chair of the Kansas Young Republicans, wrote in one instance. Well, he must be anti-Semitic. I can't believe it. This is so vile. Young Republicans face backlash after racist chat leaks. Nobody cares. Peter claimed the release of the chat was part of a highly coordinated year-long character assassination led by Gavin Wax and the New York City Young Republican Club, an allusion to a once obscured internecine war that is now spilled out into the open. These logs were sourced by way of extortion and provided to Politico by the very same people conspiring against me, he said. What's most disheartening is that despite my unwavering support of President Trump since 2016, rogue members of his administration, including Gavin Wax, have participate in this conspiracy to ruin me publicly simply because I challenged them privately. Now, I don't know if that's true. I've heard conflicting information about this, but everybody's blaming Gavin Wax, but then he's denying it apparently. Again, not to me, but I've heard rumors that he's like, oh, no, it's not me. But then he hasn't denounced it publicly. And somebody I was talking to was saying, well, it's because he's in the administration. It has to sort of go through their press office. But it's like, he should be able to say this isn't true. If it's not true, he should be able to, I don't know why there'd be a barrier to him coming out and saying, hey, I did not leak this. So why wouldn't he say that? So I don't know if I buy the denial or not, but it's laid out pretty clear here. Yeah, White House shrugs off leaked chat from young Republicans praising Hitler. Just dishonest as the day is long, folks. At least one person in the Telegram chat works in the Trump administration, Michael Bartels, who, according to his LinkedIn account, serves as a senior advisor to the Office of General Counsel within the United States Small Business Administration. Bartels did not have much to say in the chat, but he didn't offer any pushback against the offensive rhetoric in it either. Well, guilty. Send him to jail. He was silent while other people were making jokes. That's as bad as making jokes. But that's what they want. They want you to think that, like, you have to tone police your friends. Who would do that? Who would do that? As a young person in a group chat with a bunch of people you're either friends with or look up to, and they're making edgy jokes. When that happens, you just sort of shrug and go, poof. Actually, the thing that you say is, this is going to look real bad if this chat's leaked, guys. Ha ha ha. Maybe we shouldn't say that type of stuff where it can be leaked. And people did say that in the chat. That's the amount of pushback I would expect. Because who the hell is going to go to a young Republican's chat? Guys, I don't know if it's really, I don't know if Nazis are a thing we should joke about, okay? But they want you to think that because this guy didn't do that, it makes him complicit in the jokes. He's complicit in the jokes, folks. This is a group called Restore YR War Room. He also referenced WAX as well. And again, the messages are just, they're goofy. Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. They're like, oh, in 100,000 pages of comments, there were 250 slurs. And it's like, that's not even that much, to be honest with you. Doesn't even seem that bad. And I had somebody else comment on, people are getting fired from this, just utterly pathetic. And the response from the young Republican groups is just the most weak-kneed, spineless apologetics I've ever heard. Not apologetics, but groveling apologies. We're appalled by the violent, inexcusable language revealed in the political article published today. Such behavior is disgraceful, unbecoming of any Republican, and stands in direct opposition to the value our movement represents. Those involved must immediately resign from all positions within their state and local young Republican organizations right now. And we mean it. Shut up. We must hold ourselves to the highest standards of integrity, respect, and professionalism. No, you don't. No, actually, all you're saying is give in to the left. What you're saying there is give in to the fake outrage of the left and castrate yourself for the approval of people who despise you. The answer is no. The answer should be no. But I did have somebody ask me, they're like, I want to speak up more, but I'm scared. But it's hard. And it is, especially if you're surrounded by leftists that are always spouting off about their BS. You don't want to be the man on the outside. You don't want to be the outlier and people everybody hates. So I want to give you some advice for this. And J.D. Vance has some advice for you as well. And I'll go to that in just a second. J.D. Vance has been one of the only people in America to defend this. He basically said, I refuse to clutch my pearls when the Democrats themselves, as a party, refuse to denounce very sincere, very real violent rhetoric from their own candidate for Attorney General of Virginia. So here's my advice. And here's how I do it, or did it before I worked in InfoWars. I was working, and I've told the story many times, in case you haven't heard it. I was working in a very leftist atmosphere on film sets and stuff, and people would say things that were outrageous. And so my advice is find something to ground yourself in that you can support 10 toes down, not budging an inch, and just assert that. And they'll try to bring up other stuff and they'll try to distract, but you just always go back to that one thing that you know you can stand on. For me, you know, people would be saying, I can't believe people like Trump. And I'd go, oh, I like Trump though. Oh, wow. What? But why? I'd say, well, I really hate war and Hillary loves war. This was in 2016. So I don't like war. That's kind of my main thing. So I'm going to vote for the candidate least likely to get us into war. That's Donald Trump. What are you going to say to that? You're going to say, no, Hillary is the peace candidate. Okay. Then you're dumb. Like, that's just not even an argument. You're going to say that's bad. I think Trump's going to take us to war. Well, where's the proof of that? Hillary talking about bombing Russia because of cyber attacks that never even happened. And so, yeah, again, they'll try to say other stuff. But you just go, look, dude, I just hate war. Is that bad? Do you think I shouldn't hate war? No, I hate war. I'm going to vote for the guy who's not going to take us into war. What's the problem? Then they can't say anything. Then whatever else you say, you go, this is great points, dude, but it's about war for me. So that's where I'm at. And whatever it is, whatever your topic is, you just stand on that and you just armor yourself in truth and love. And you just go, look, you have to decide for yourself. Am I a hateful person? If you're not a hateful person, then why should you be afraid to express yourself? They might try to say that, because you said that, that insinuates that you believe this other thing. Doesn't matter. You just go, no. Here's what I believe. I just told you what I believe. Take it or leave it. And it works, and that works. We're going to bring on somebody who has some inside information about this, a guy named Aiden. We don't even know his last name, but I'll tell you his Twitter account here in just a second. But I do want to go to the video of J.D. Vance talking about this, because I think he, again, is pretty much the only person of authority in American politics that actually responded correctly to this by dismissing the fake outrage and pointing the attention directly where it belongs on the AG who's literally threatening to kill people. Let's go to clip 47 now.
A person who is very politically powerful, who is about to become one of the most powerful law enforcement officers in the country, that person seriously wishing for political violence and political assassination is 1,000 times worse than what a bunch of young people, a bunch of kids say in a group chat, however offensive it might be. That's just reality. And if you allow yourself to be distracted by this person's incredible endorsement, disgusting endorsement of political assassination by focusing on what kids are saying in a group chat, grow up. I'm sorry. Focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats. But there's another angle to this that I just have to be honest about. I mean, I'm like an old guy at this point. I'm 41 years old. I have three kids. I grew up in a different world, right? Where not most of the stupid things that I did when I was a teenager and a young adult, they're not on the internet. Like, I'm going to tell my kids, especially my boys, don't put things on the internet. Like, be careful with what you post. If you put something in a group chat, assume that some scumbag is going to leak it in an effort to try to cause you harm or cause your family harm. But the reality is that kids do stupid things, especially young boys. They tell edgy, offensive jokes. Like, that's what kids do. And I really don't want us to grow up in a country where a kid telling a stupid joke, telling a very offensive stupid joke, is cause to ruin their lives. And at some point, we're all going to have to say, enough of this BS. We're not going to allow the worst moment in a 21-year-old's group chat to ruin a kid's life for the rest of time.
Absolutely.
That's
brilliant.
Just not okay.
One of the greatest examples, really, of J.D. Vance as vice president that we've seen to date. He's absolutely dead on about that. Now, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Aiden. He's on X at Aiden, X-I-T-T-E-R. Aiden Zitter, I guess you'd pronounce that. X-I-T-T-E-R. Aiden, X-I-T-T-E-R. You say a friend of yours got blackmailed into leaking these chats, a total coward, a useless guy. Tell us what you know about this, because I put out a call. I said, hey, anybody involved in this is welcome to come on InfoWars and tell your side of the story. And I got a lot of people tagging Aiden, telling me that's who I needed to talk to. Aiden, how are you involved in this? What do you know about this situation?
Well, I know, like, everybody involved in the story. I met with Gavin. I was actually trying to meet with Gavin when I was in DC last time. I was there to work on consulting, meet congressional reps I know, have dinner with them, etc. I wanted to meet with Gavin to discuss that as well. But when it comes to Bartels, who I would like to extend some grace to him to some extent, because the post was initially about him being blackmailed. That's where the post starts out with, is saying that he was blackmailed. Because as it was relayed to me, I'm friends with Alex Dwyer. I'm friends with Will Hendricks. We served on the YR board together. And I know Peter Yunta. I know, everyone involved in this story. And I think it is a little bit of a misnomer to say that that these people are kids making jokes, because they're, none of them are even close in age to me. They're all, you know, grown adults, and Alex has a family, but that's what makes it so much more horrendous is what essentially was a beef in YRs, which is, I mean, depending on your perspective on it, YRs is not like a super significant organization. It's like the junior organizing party of the GOP, but there was a beef between, as it was relayed to me, there was a beef between Gavin and Peter over a photo with Trump that Gavin ended up getting. And then there was a national committee spot with the YRs that further aggravated Gavin. And then I'm sure there's a ton of stuff that Peter did to Gavin or vice versa that went on behind the scenes that I'm not being told. But regardless, the essence of the issue for me is these are people that I care about. These are people that I'm friends with. And for the record, I actually really liked Gavin, and I still kind of do. I find it very hard to believe that he's going through all of this.
Well, so,
or that he so perpetrated all of this, but go ahead. Sorry.
Well, sorry. Can you explain the blackmail? Cause I'm kind of confused by that. Cause it seems like this would be the blackmail material. It seems like you'd use this chat to blackmail somebody. What was the blackmail that got the guy to release this? Do you know?
Well, and like I said, I'm friends with Bartels as well, but that's not being communicated to me. I'm not under the impression of what would be brought up in terms of why Gavin would have blackmail material on Bartels, but they're both part of the New York scene. So what I'm told is that there are NDAs that everyone in the New York City club signs. And if these are violated, you can very easily, get into some legal trouble. And as it was told to me by, you know, people involved in the situation, people that were implicated in this group chat, people that are familiar with all the parties involved, people in the New York scene, people outside of it, that Bartels' job was threatened, as the affidavit was shown. If you look at Brett McDonald's post, if you look at Milo's post, if you go to AF post, there's an affidavit, and it shows some allegations made by Bartels about WACs. And an affidavit, when you are signing an affidavit for reporting, you are essentially saying that, yes, these facts are true to my knowledge and that I'm not lying. I'm not perjuring myself, because you're opening yourself up to legal action if you lie. Like the
right.
Reporting is being made on the basis of legally attested to facts. So what doesn't make sense to me, or why Bartels would lie, is if he says that his job is getting threatened, right, he's saying Gavin threatened my job, then why would he then go and lie about Gavin to Politico and go as far as to sign an affidavit? Because that affidavit would put him in legal jeopardy with Politico,
right,
and potentially
he could go
other
to jail if he's not accurate.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
so
he,
but sorry to cut you off, but we only have a little over a minute left here. Why would WACs or whoever it is even do this? Seems like this is like almost suicidal, the way that they are destroying their own group and destroying their own friends and compatriots by releasing this. I don't see how anybody involved in the Young Republicans at all would be, you know, in favor of this stuff being leaked. Well, why would it be leaked?
My understanding of it is that it was designed to take out Peter, and that everyone else is collateral damage. But I don't know why there wasn't like much thought into the fact that this was going to turn into a national story. And for what it's worth, I don't want this to be an attack or any of my statements to be misconstrued as a personal vendetta against Gavin or anything against the people in the New York City scene, because I like many of them, and I was very friendly with our current president, and I would hope that they would iron out the details to me. But I know for a fact, like, I have it on very good authority with people close to the situation, that Gavin 100% was the person leaking all of this information. And under those circumstances, there has to be some greater consideration between I want to argue with, you know, my political rival over a YR position. So I'm going to go ahead and torch the whole, you know, movement, right, bring a national scandal on.
No, it doesn't make sense.
I have rats in my attic,
so I lit my house on fire. You know, you'd be bringing an atomic weapon to a knife fight. It just seems crazy. Thank you so much for joining us, Aiden Zitter. I don't know how to pronounce that, but thank you for joining us, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by ultimate creatine powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quack, 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 whatever it is. You know, that little, ooga chaka, munga, baka, woom, cock, cock. That'd be really good.